In a cold, far away world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us as Weird Wolf, Insane Galvatron, Cyburn 2, God Convoy, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, and Plasticon Reviews discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 65, recorded October 10th, 2013. Along with me is Insane Galvatron.
I think I just jizzed my pants.
Okay.
He must have clicked the link.
And well, actually, I don't have any links to click because I just logged on here a few minutes ago. But I went to TFW, the very first news story.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment. Yeah. And then also with me is Cyburn 2.
What's up, everybody?
And, of course, Weird Wolf. We're a little bit shorthanded as we normally would be, or shorter-handed than we normally would be tonight. We've usually got about four people on. I think this is the second week in a row we've had three, but it's just been a really rough time here with me getting married.
Three weeks in a row.
Yeah. Well, with me getting married and just life with other people. I know Amber's had a couple. There's like Oktoberfest or something other where she's at. Yeah, and that's me. I've been on the road.
She's in a lovely place right now.
Yeah. So it's just really rough for everyone. But
that's why I'm glad we have such a large podcast crew, though. Because when it was just me or you, or me or you, and maybe one other person, you know, when you or I couldn't be here, we would, you know, wouldn't have had as many podcasts.
We'd have just been a talking head.
Well, we've had a few podcasts last few weeks. I've only had three people, and I don't think it's been the same three people every time.
No, and it's
you're
good.
Not here, I'm not here, or Mike's not here, and Plasticon was. It's you know.
Yeah, and that's why it's like that by design, because, you know, whenever some people's not available, we have other people that can jump in and do it, and they're regulars. You know, we want to try to keep a podcast going every week. It's not entirely possible every single week. You know, there's been a couple times we've had to miss, but you know, we keep our listeners informed and we at least try.
Hey Mike. last time you were on, I talked about it, and I told you it was in RD colors. I actually bought it last week. $50. Did you listen to the podcast? Did you hear the story?
No, I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, well, I think the one you were on, I talked about, I saw it at a store, and I was going to go back for it. Well, I went back for it. It didn't ring up, so the guy went back to the toy department to see how much it was. I figured it would be $13 like the Beast Hunters Deluxes. Mm-hmm. He comes back up and says $10 each. So yeah. I got Ruination for $50.
I went to a local Kroger to see how much they were there, just out of curiosity. And they were about $13 a piece. So, yeah,
he must have looked at the Cyberverse Commander peg or something.
Well, I told him that the other toys about that size were $13. I mean, I tried to be honest about it when they weren't ringing up. But he took one and walked back and talked to some guy that was working in the toy department. He never actually went to the Transformer aisle. I mean, I could see him. So him and that guy were talking. The guy picked up a little computer thing, was punching around on it. He comes back up and says $10. So
that ain't bad.
Yeah, not too bad at all. I mean, like I said, I checked it out. They had Blastoff, they had Onslaught, Swindle, and Vortex. They didn't have Brawl, but they were, I think, $13.99 a piece, so $14.
That's for the Fruticus, the retail version, right?
Yeah, that's the retail version, the one.
If you have Fruticus, the G2 is the only one you have, right?
Yeah, that's all I have. But
I have all three now. I was happy.
Want to remind everybody that you can interact with us as we are broadcasting live on YouTube as we usually do. You can chat with us in the comments window. and we'll try to mention your comments on air if they're pertinent to what we're talking about. Also, you can tweet us at TFYLP on Twitter. Also, podcast at TFYLP.com. You can email us there. And don't forget about our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/TFYLP. And also, last but not least, TFTalk.net. We have message boards there you can post on. We have a podcast listener forum, so if you have any questions or comments, feel free to post them on there, and we'll try to get to them as they come in. We mentioned one last week. I believe Tater X had a question, and we answered it. And it's kind of nice hearing from our fans, so we'd love to hear from you. Without further ado, let's go into the Ouch My Wallet segment. Ouch My Wallet, as always, is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Great prices, great toys, great service, CapturedPrey.com. And St. Galvatron, have you picked up anything this week? I know that you did. You might want to talk about a few things.
I picked up, you know, as we talked about before, I had been having a bunch of eBay purchases and had them and on the boards and things, had them shipped to your house, and I went by Tuesday and picked them up, which was 2 days ago. It's just a big old huge whack of G1. I got those Machine Wars toys. I've mentioned them on the podcast before. Got the RD stuff that I'm going to sell. And just a huge whack of G1. I'm not even going to try to go through the list at all because it's just too much. But basically, I was going through and updating my want list without going through all the MicroMasters and figuring out what I need, which I know I don't need much on those. I know I need the Autobot headquarters, like the Combiner headquarters. And I need a couple of the patrols, which is, you know, those are relatively inexpensive. But otherwise, I have all the MicroMasters. So not counting those, I only have 18 whole figures I need to complete US G1, not counting the toys with GPS because I'm not going to buy those. So, yeah, I'm down to 18, and most of them are relatively inexpensive. It's just trying to find them in good enough condition.
Wow.
Yeah, like the trigger bots and trigger cons with the guns that pop out, it's really hard to find those with good chrome, so that's why I've been kind of holding out. But, yeah, I mean, you figure those guys aren't that expensive, and there's, what, 5 or 6 of those?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got 18 figures I need, and then there's a few parts I need to complete some that I have, and some I have that I'm not real happy with the condition I'd like to replace eventually. But as far as to own all the G1 toys, yeah, I need like 8. I'm down to 18 now after picking up that big lot.
There was two of my favorites in those groups. I always loved Windsweeper and Crankcase. Well, actually,
I have
three.
Crankcase.
Windsweeper, Crankcase, and Backstreet were my three favorites. Now, Dogfight and Override, I didn't care too much for.
I still want to have them, though, because I want to complete the G1. The only things I'm not getting are the two, I guess, like the Mega Pretenders, whatever the biggest ones are, like the vehicles that have like another vehicle and another like a triple stage pretender, because they have like gold plastic, like the base of the big vehicle. So those are hard to get in condition. I can't remember their names, so I just went across them off the list when I found out they had gold plastic. Monstructor and then Action Master Sprocket. For USG1, those are the only four that I won't be buying because they have gold plastic. So, I mean, even if I were going to get those, it would still be a list of 22.
I'd still go ahead and get Monstructor, but I would get the I think it's Wildfly, or no, Slog. Slog is the one with GPS, and I would just get him. That's if I could find one that's already transformed in the mode to form Monstructor, and then I'd never transform him.
just combine. Just get one that's already broken. And that way, I'll get it cheaper and don't have to worry about, you know, paying big. See, this reason I don't want to do it is like a Black Zarek. I could never buy a Black Zarek for the money he goes for. And then the first time you touch him, he breaks. Because he goes from being worth $500 to being worth $5 just because something broke. Why I'm staying away from gold plastic.
Or you could get the Dino King version of it.
Yeah, that's the Japanese version. It's way more expensive. Who knows? Maybe down the road. But for now, I'm just, you know, here's G1 minus gold plastic.
If it completed my G1... You know, and it's the last figure I had.
Considering there's like four altogether, it's like not like that one is the one I need. There'd be three others as well.
Yeah.
Although I may pick up the Action Master Sprocket because I've seen some of those that aren't broken, and I could just leave it in the vehicle. And all the gold plastic is on the vehicle, not the little the figure
the
itself.
Action Master, yeah.
I could just leave it in vehicle mode and then, you know, stand Sprocket next to it. And, yeah. You know, if I find one of those unbroken and it's in car mode when I buy it, I may get that and then just never transform it. But I mean, the other ones, to me, I'm not a mint box collector because I like to transform my Transformers. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, with the Action Master, I can make the exception because the robot is non-transformable. It's just its accessory that transforms. But like the other three, you kind of would, I'd have to transform those if I owned them, and then they'd end up breaking, so I'm just going to stay away from them.
Yeah, I can see why you do that. But, total brain fart right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I have. And I didn't really actually buy anything this week. I mean, all that stuff is stuff I bought previously. And, you know,
I just figured you'd pick a few of your highlights out of it that you'd want to talk about, because I mean, that was a big bunch of stuff. I think the browning was the coolest part for me, because that was one of the things I'd never owned before that I'd actually got to hold.
Yeah, I picked up those knockoff Brownings. I got a knockoff Shatterglass Prime to go with my Master Shooter Broken Reflection set. Like I said, the bunch of G1. I'm trying to think of the other non-G1 stuff I didn't mention. I said the stuff I did open up, I mean, a lot of it was MicroMasters and MicroMaster, you know, combiner bases. And there's some Pretenders in there. A Stranglehold. I finally got a Stranglehold now. He's one of the...
Burt Reynolds.
Really hard, it's really hard to get Pretenders that the shells aren't all scratched up paint-wise, because the paint was just really crappy. And Pretenders are my least favorite of the G1 toys. I actually like Action Masters better than Pretenders, with the exception of a few. Most of them, I just get them in as good a condition as I can find, but I'm not going to, like, pay big bucks to get perfect, because, you know, they're near impossible to find. I don't want to pay $900 for, you know, a guy when I can get him for $60 with a few scratches, that most of which are covered up by the helmet or the belt or something. So I've settled for less than mint on some of those Pretenders, except for I wanted a mint Thunderwing, Bludgeon, and Stranglehold. The only reason I wanted a mint Stranglehold is because he's probably my favorite of those Pretenders, because he looks like Burt Reynolds. He looks like, you know, Burt Reynolds from the 80s. And that is just hilarious to me, the idea of a shirtless Burt Reynolds looks like a wrestler or something. It's crazy.
I call him Porn Stash Pretender, because he's...
Well, and something I never really thought about until I was setting these Pretenders up the other night is, like, the Autobot Pretenders, they all look like humans in some kind of suit.
Yeah.
The Decepticon Pretenders all look like monsters. There's one exception to that rule, Stranglehold and Longtooth. Stranglehold looks like a human, but he's the Decepticon. Longtooth is the monster with the big saber teeth, and he's the Autobot.
Yeah.
And they look kind of out of place. If you put all the Autobots together, you get all these humans and a monster. And the Decepticons, you got all these monsters and a human. It's just, I don't know if maybe Stranglehold was supposed to be an Autobot, and then Longtooth Decepticon, and somebody got their wires crossed at Hasbro. I don't know, but it seems strange that the pattern is broken by those two.
It's kind of like it's probably one of those things where they did it as a kind of like a punch counter punch, you know, like an infiltrator. You know, this guy would blend in with everybody else, and I don't know. I mean, I don't remember his character too much weird in the comics. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think they had a whole lot of character in the comics. I think they were pretty much like, I think at one point, like, all the Autobot Pretenders were there, and like some humans or something flew over in a jet, or it may have been a Decepticon. They're like, oh, look at all those humans, but they're like really big, because they weren't even human size. They were still Transformer size.
Well, in Master Force, they were human size.
Yeah. But, you know, we never got Metal Hawk in the U.S. And
yeah.
So, yeah, I still need, you know, a couple of Pretenders on that list. The other two I wanted mint that I have on the way. I was hoping they'd be here by now, probably here tomorrow or Saturday. I finally picked up a Vroom and a Crossblades, which were in the same line as Thunderwing, with the ones where the shells transform. They transform and they combine with the shell for bigger alt mode. Those guys are really pricey. I was surprised to see they ran as much as Thunderwing. I figured he was so pricey because he was featured in the comics.
Yeah.
But apparently that line of Pretenders, they must be really hard to get complete. But I found an auction. They usually go for around $200 for a Vroom 200 plus. 200 is the low end. Crossblade usually goes for $135 to $150. There were two auctions up. There's not a guy had a bunch of stuff up on eBay, a bunch of Pretenders. I wish it had more cash. I hadn't blown through it all on all this other stuff. I would have bid on more that he had. But he had both of them in absolute mint condition. They looked like they just came out of the box. I mean, not a single scratch or anything. I got them both for both auctions. I just put in $200 a piece, see what would happen. Got them both for $129, which was an incredibly low price for both of those guys.
Both of them combined for $129?
No, $129 each.
Oh,
but okay. I mean, actually, one. The Vroom, that's like $100 on average under his going rate, and that was about $20-$30 under what Crossblades usually goes for, and I've never seen them this mint before. So those are some really good deals I got there, but because those two are so pricey, I wanted those mint as well. I'm not going to drop $130, $150, $200 on a toy, a vintage toy, unless it's mint. I don't care how rare it is. So even though I will settle for less than mint on the other guys, I mean, like a Wave Rider with, his paint on his head worn is not a big deal when you can get it for $40. But when you're spending 100 plus, they got to be mint. So.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to drop that kind of money, I mean, you'd expect it to be. I wouldn't want it to be anything less than mint.
You'd be surprised. I've seen just the fact that Vroom, he's got the little wheel for the sidecar is the rarest part. And just because he's complete and has that wheel, it doesn't seem to matter how many scratches, how bad the stickers look, he'll still sell for $200. I'm really surprised. I managed to snipe those auctions that cheap.
Did you snipe? Oh, okay. You did snipe them.
Yeah, I sniped them. I bid with 8 seconds to go. And still somebody bid after me, because when I actually had the high bid, when I put my bid in, I put in $200. But when it closed, or when I put it in at $200, it was only I was the high bidder at $66, $67, and with just 5 seconds to go, and then it would jump up to over 100 in the last second. So there were other people trying to snipe too. I just put in a high enough bid.
I'm trying to tweet out some stuff here.
I'm trying to think if there was anything else in that box worth mentioning. I picked up a second OTFCC 03 sideswipe because I got it for $20 shipped on eBay. Just because I really like those exclusives, I want an extra one to open a fiddle with so I can leave my other ones in the box. And besides all those G1s, I had a bunch of MicroMasters. Oh, I was really having a lot of fun playing with Action Master Wheeljack that night. I'd never messed with him before. His vehicle is a Ferrari Testarossa, and he's all white, so I was pretending he was, Crockett from Miami Vice. Yeah, that was it. Other than just messing with MicroMasters things, I got finally got a G1 Weird Wolf in there, so I can replace the knockoff with an actual vintage. His shoulders were a little tighter than I'd like, but I think I can fix that with some baby oil.
That's what she said.
Yeah, a little tight, and some baby oil. That's actually, I know I've told the story in this podcast, but that works really well in these vintage toys with tight joints. You're worried about breaking. If you have a horrible and you actually find one that's not already broken at the hinge.
Oh, that really hot chick at that comic shop in
comic
Lexington.
Store.
Yeah.
She put the baby oil on there and it worked it real good.
We were sitting there watching and we're like, no, you're going to break it. Don't do that. And then.
And you can hear it squeaking, but then she got the oil worked into that joint and it's just smooth as silk. And it's still, I went ahead and bought it and it's still good. So, I mean, that's convinced me. I use baby oil for all my overtight G1 joints now. Just don't overdo. Don't put too much. Matter of fact, I got the knockoff G1 Gnaws, and they were the second run of them. Had a thing where when you take the Sharktacon hands, arms, and fold them back, those hinges are really tight and stress. Well, you told me about it because you bought one and you're stressed. So when I got mine, I pulled them. They're a little resistant, so I took a Q-tip, a little baby oil, just touched it to the hinges, and it just kind of worked it until it got all the way in the hinge and opened smooth the silk, no stress marks, nothing.
Wow.
So, yeah, baby oil is a good trick. Just, I wouldn't put too much because it's hard. Because she put so much on that horrible that even now I can go in there and pick it up and I could take a tissue and wipe off excess baby oil. It's still seeping out of that thing. She drowned it, but, it didn't need quite that much. But
hey, it works.
But it works.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so I guess I'm going to stop rambling now. Somebody else tell us what you got.
Well, we'll move on to the Cyber 2. Have you picked up anything in the last few weeks?
No, I was, I got to get prescription glasses. I haven't gotten them yet, but that's an expense that'll keep me from getting any toys.
I hope it's not going to stop you from buying those ones I have for you.
No, what's stopping me right now is that the school has made me fill out more papers, and so it's going to take even longer. But on the bright side, I have gotten the offer for my internship, and so I expect within 2 to 3 weeks to be working.
Sweet.
And making pretty good money for an intern.
Definitely. And and I were actually talking about that before the podcast, and he's actually going to be making more than I was whenever I was working for Pepsi. So.
Oh, sweet. So you can buy all kinds of toys then. That means you can order the subscription service 2.0 and sell me the couple out of it I want. You can afford it now. Except
we'll see. We'll see how long it takes for me to. Because
I think he wants to get out on his own first, and then then start thinking about toys.
Well, it's such a narrow window to subscribe to that anyway. He's going to miss it. I think it closes this week sometime.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. Is had it came later, and I already had the internship, I probably would have had no problems, you know, subscribing. But their small opening window is just not long enough.
So besides being horribly timed, it's also closes too quickly.
Yeah, I don't understand their reasoning behind that. And it's my chair. It's not me farting and everything. But I don't understand their reasoning behind that, because they're not even done with subscription service 1.0, and now here they are bringing up the charge.
Yeah, that's the reason.
2.0.
That's the reason I'm not renewing, is because they just billed me for the third installment of the last one. And to subscribe to the second one, I have to pay the first installment now. That's two installment payments at once. Well, if I could do that, if I could swing that, I wouldn't have done installments at all. I just paid it all up front.
Well, see, that's where the club runs into a big issue, is that they automatically assume that every Transformers collector out there has this huge, you know, wad of disposable income hiding around somewhere. And while Transformer collecting is an expensive hobby and everything, the vast majority of collectors are like us. You know, they don't have a butt ton of money sitting around just to throw at new toys whenever it comes out. Now, granted, there are people out there that, you know, they make enough that they can budget and pick up new stuff when it comes out. And for those people, great, more power to you. I hope to be one of you one of these days. And to a smaller extent, I was a lot like that, you know, back whenever, before my accident. You know, I had a good paying job the last couple years, and you know, if something came out and I could find enough cash, I would pre-order it and get it. There was a lot of stuff I missed out on, but there was a lot of stuff that I got, you know.
Yeah, it's all about budgeting. It's all about knowing how much money you've got, how much you need for bills and food and stuff, and how much you've got left every month to put towards toys.
Yeah.
And that's how we stay in this hobby, is like, okay, this month I've got X amount of dollars, or I've got X amount of dollars every month, and you spend it accordingly. And so that's why this club thing is a kick in the butt, because like, okay, you're using up pretty much my monthly budget, you know, for finishing up last one.
Yeah, I mean, if they would let you know when it was going to happen several months in advance, so you could put a little away for
a while.
Yeah,
I may have not bought all these G1s. You know, I could have held back on all these G1 purchases and just held back, you know, a couple $100 to you know, subscribe with. But, you know, they announced the toys. You know, you don't even have time to consider, okay, how many of these do I want? Is it worth subscribing? Do I want to try to work a deal with somebody to buy the ones I don't get? You know, they don't give you time to do that planning. So, like in my case, it's been like, oh, well, you didn't give me time. You're billing too close to the other one. You're just not going to get my money this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dead horse that everybody on the message boards and every podcast has beat over the head about the Collectors Club. And I honestly don't think that they're listening. You know, if they did, then they would actually have done something by now. Or if they are listening, they just don't care. You know, and you know, the fact that they don't give a shit is just really reprehensible, in my opinion.
You'd think they would want our money.
Yeah, you'd think. And you know, I've heard people say, "Well, you know that this subscription service is getting ready to come out, or BotCon is coming out, and you know, you can just save up your money and use it toward that." But well, okay, I'm not going to sit here and put back so much money for this and so much money for that. I don't have that kind of income.
Well, and they didn't even announce how much it was going to cost until they put it up.
Yeah, and you know, it's like there's so many other things and Transformers and third party and other things that are not Transformers that I want to spend, you know, if I do have disposable income that I want to spend that money on, you know, if I want to go buy a vintage toy or what have you, that comes out of that little budget that I have for toys. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and just sit on this money just to throw at the club whenever they want to put something out, you know. And
with me, it's like, I've got a list of stuff I want. I've got X amount of money I can spend. And it's a first come, first serve basis on that stuff. It's like, of all the stuff I want, whatever comes out first is what I'm buying. And then if something comes out later, it's like, oh, well, I'll have to wait till next month. If it's still around, I'll get it. But then, like I said, in this case, all the budget went toward the payment for last year's. There's nothing in there. It's like, okay, if it were a month later, I could resubscribe, no problem. If it were 2 months later, no problem. It's the fact that both are hitting the same month. You know, I mean, it wasn't like you said, I could have saved last month or the month before, you know, Transformer budget. But, other stuff came out I wanted. It was available then. Who knew when the club stuff's going to be available? I didn't want to miss out on this third-party thing that's going to triple in price if I don't get it now. I buy it and then take my chances on the club. And because the club half-asses everything and, you know, announces everything, gives you a price, and, oh, by the way, you got 3 weeks to come up with the money. Oh, well, we're going to bill you for last time. It's like, if that's the way they're going to run their business, then they're going to be the one that loses my money. You know, the other companies that announce stuff a year ahead of time, give you plenty of time to save up or place your pre-order, they will get my money.
Yeah. So I made sure I pre-ordered Thrustinator because it's the one piece and all that that I have to have. And
yeah, I think that's the way to go with this. I mean, it's like me. Like right now, I don't have any disposable income, and what I've been getting through either trades or sales. And there are a few figures from the subscription service this year that I really wouldn't mind having. I wouldn't mind having Circuit, I wouldn't mind having Scourge, I wouldn't mind having Ultra Mammoth. They're not definite must-haves for me, but if I can pick them up down the road, I would try if I could afford it. I almost made a trade this past week for a Circuit. However, you know, the guy just really he kind of hemmed and hawed about some of the stuff that I had. Granted, some of the stuff that I have for trade and sale isn't exactly, you know, high on everybody's want list, but. This guy here's up for sale or trade. I have a Arms Micron Swerve. It's mint in box, you know. And as a matter of fact, the Arms Micron is not even assembled yet. It's still on the sprues in there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm asking, I think he was 55 whenever he came out. I'm asking 40 for him. And the guy was asking
about what Circuit goes for.
Yeah, well, this guy was asking 30 for Circuit. And, I'm like, dude, you know, get the Arms Micron Swerve, you know, and trade me straight up for it. And it's a great toy. It's not released here in the United States. It probably will never be released here in the United States. If you, you know, hold on to it, great. If you don't want it, flip it. You'll get your money back, you know, and maybe then some.
Yeah, probably get more than 30 bucks for Swerve, easy.
Yeah. But it didn't go through, and such as it is with the trading, way to go to trading. But going back to the club, you know, if I want to get toys that I want from the club, I'm just going to go and get them from a second hand vendor like BBTS or Captured Prey or whoever's going to have them, because I'm not going to be giving my money directly to the club and put my credit card or what have you into the hands of questionable people who might screw up my account again. And two, I will get it at my leisure. You know, I don't have to sit here and go, oh gosh, the subscription service is only going to last another week. I've got to have the money for that. And then you go spend your money on that. And then here's something else that comes out. And you forgot you had a pre-order, or you have a pre-order for something else, and you just can't afford it because you gave the club that wad, or vice versa. You know, you just don't have the money for it, and it really sucks. And I think they're planning on that. I mean, the subscription service by default is a great idea. I love the idea, and fans have been clamoring for it for a long, long time. But the way they're executing it is just really half-assed, in my opinion. I mean, I know we've went off on a tangent here, but
it's deserved by the club.
Yeah,
you know, so they're
no
the
only
the collectors club and BotCon. It's a great idea, but I got to say, I'm just not real happy with the way they've been running it. And I think it's because they're Joe guys primarily. They don't give a crap about Transformers. So they're, but they've got some Transformer guys on the team. But I know, like, Brian, the main head guy of Fun Pub, he's a Joe guy. You know, so I just don't think that's why it gets the effort it should be getting. I mean, look how long it took them to get online registration, for crying out loud.
And it still sucks.
Yeah, it still sucks, but they had like, well, I could say the online registration works pretty smooth. It was pretty smooth the last time I signed up for a BotCon or anything. They finally got the kinks worked out on it, but I mean, it took them, they were in the, you know, late 20 teens or the late 2000s.
They took over the
and they were still faxing. You know, yeah. Fax in your registration. Then they send, it's like the guys are so, that are running it are so old, they're like grandma. You know, they look at this computer and are like, what does this thing do? You know, it's like they don't, they're not qualified to be trying to run a club in the modern age.
Well, look at the people that that they have running the convention. You know, you have Brian and I think his mom and other people. You know, they don't know the first, they're the people that are actually, you know, handing out the pre-registration packets and everything at the conventions, they don't know the first thing about Transformers, nor they even give a crap.
Well, I'm not even thinking that. I'm thinking just on the technology end of things, just for running a business.
You know, that lends itself to it too. I mean, you know, they don't care about the toys that the collectors are there for, and then they also don't care. You know, they probably have no idea how to do the technical side of it too, that is required for something like this, or that is really nice.
I think what it is, where they ran the Joe Club, was never really very big compared to the Transformers.
Oh, I think it's vice versa.
I mean, especially it's not. I mean, Joe Con, I mean, their attendance is like a fraction of BotCon.
Really?
Even I would have thought it was even before bigger. Even before the 07 movie. Well, because most of the Joe-Con people are like, you're much older than us men who are into the 12-inch Joes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, most people who like the 3 3/4 were guys like us, where G.I. Joe isn't usually their primary passion, you know, so they won't necessarily go to a Joker. I mean, there are some, but the numbers, I mean, someone correct me if I'm wrong out there in listener land, but from what I've always read and heard, the Joe-Con numbers are way lower than BotCon. And I think what it is, just the size of the convention and the collector's club has gotten so big they can't handle it. Their way of doing things worked when you had a Joe Club where you might have 300 members, you know, and 300 people show up at your con. But when you get up into 3,000, it's just, they're overwhelmed. I mean, that's why they have all these issues with shipping stuff out.
Could you imagine if they had a convention the size of San Diego Comic-Con?
No, there's no way. I mean, they can barely handle, I was going to say barely handle, but they really can't handle BotCon. You know, there's always the mess of like, you know, don't, you know, update your address if you move, you know, within, you know, 90 days of when this thing is going to ship, you know, you'll have to pay a reshipping fee, because they can't handle the size. They can't take the time to have somebody call up and be like, hey, I just moved last week. You know, you're going to ship this figure in 2 weeks.
And then they pull you up.
Address.
Yeah, pull you up in the database, change your address. Boom, it's done. No worries.
Should be. I actually had that problem with my Dion, the free figure, whatever year he was the free figure.
2010.
Yeah, it's 2010, because that's when I bought my house. You know, whatever the deadline was to, you know, there's like a ridiculously large amount of time before they actually ship them. You know, I was still in my apartment. I hadn't even found a house at that point. One time I found a house, you go through closing, it took like 30 days, and I'm closed, and I moved in. And so pretty much I moved in the weekend after I closed. I called them the following Monday, and like, hey, I just bought a house. And the lady was, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'll take care of you, and I'll change your address. I still never got my Dion, and when I called, or actually I logged in on the website, she had only changed my zip code. So the mail was, it didn't send to the wrong address. It was undeliverable because it went to my old street address at the old city with the new zip code. So it didn't even make it there. She's like, she only updated the zip code. And so when I called them,
how
I was like,
how lazy can you get? Yeah.
Well, and when I called them back, and I was like, well, look, I called to change it. I mean, obviously the package has the new zip code and the old address. So the lady changed it in time before it shipped. I shouldn't have to pay the remailing fees. And they were like, no, because technically you didn't get in according to the fine print, you know, 90 days before they ship or whatever the bull crap excuse was. So, yeah, they didn't even want to send me my Dion. And
you never did get it, did you?
No, I never did, because I didn't want to pay. I shouldn't have had to pay the $5. It was their mistake. I called in time. The fact that they had the new zip code on their shows, I called in time to catch it before it shipped. It was their fault for not changing it properly in the computer. And it goes back to them being technically illiterate. I mean, that's the reason why the credit card stuff got hacked, because Brian probably tried to write the software himself for the, you know, the anti-hacking security or whatever.
That's just the mental image of that is hilarious. But we've actually digressed too much on the outside wallet, but it's an old discussion, but you know, those are our thoughts. The only thing I've got for the Ouch My Wallet this week, I was able to pick it up through some sales. It was the Fans Project Downforce, or the Knot Drag Strip. I can't wait to finish the Intimidator, which is a third-party Minasaur. The only ones I have left is Fans Project Last Chance, and then Diesel whenever it comes out. I am hoping and praying that I can get enough in sales or be able to trade for Last Chance, and then get enough by in sales for Diesel, because I mean, I should, because you know, my situation should be improving soon. I've been informed recently, but how long soon is, I don't know. And if that happens, then I should be able to pay for them. But you know, at this point right now, there, I still have a number of items that I'm willing to sell or trade, and I'm looking to pick up Last Chance. And Downforce, the only thing I have against Downforce is Fans Project has this thing about the way their legs lock in. I don't know if you can see it, but you got to kind of like use your fingernail and pull that out, and it like unclips from the gray part here for you to swivel it down. And it's like this on all three, no, yeah, actually it is. It's like this on all three of the Knot Stunticons that I have, and it was also like that on the Knot Insecticons whenever I had those. And I assume that it's like that on all the others. The only one that, like the quadruple U, I don't think it's like that on there, but I don't recall that kind of feature. It's a little bit annoying to me because I feel like I'm going to stress the plastic and break it. Even though it's pliable enough, and it's obviously meant to stretch just a little bit so you can open it up. I don't know if I can, I'm going to try to,
that's what she said.
Yeah. But it's just this, it's kind of blurry on my screen here, but you got to pull it out, and
that's what she said.
Let's see here. Let's see if I'm doing it right. I don't want to break. Oh, here it is. Yeah. It's right here. This is it. It's where this part, gotta turn it to the, yeah, this part right here where it pegs in just underneath the wheel. That's where you gotta pull it out and see how it kinda clips out there. It's a little bit, you know, I mean, you gotta, the plastic has gotta stretch some. And I could see that down the road being a point where it might break.
Well, now the reports I've heard, that was something else I had in that lot because I bought those from TF Source. I haven't actually opened them yet. I've been really busy the last couple of days, but I've heard that Downforce, you got to be really careful with his like his windshield. Somehow the way that thing is hinged, that it can get bound up and break.
Yeah, it is. That was another thing, because his feet, these right here, and that's my biggest gripe about his transformation. The clip that I was just talking about is a point of concern, but it's not something that you know is, you know, absolutely stay away from the figure. The only thing that is that the way of these feet, they've got to turn a certain way, and then the canopy, it flips around, and it kind of fits in. You can see how it's kind of hollow up in there. The toes or the feet actually fit up underneath there, and they only fit one way. And they, whenever the canopy slides, it slides back to finish up the car transformation. And whenever it does, it is a very, very tight fit. Whenever they designed that, I don't know what they were thinking. But that is just very, very
In other precarious. Words, what you're saying is be careful. What
be
you're saying
very
is be careful,
careful
with transforming.
Yeah, be very careful. Honestly, I think once I get the Diesel, the Knot Motormaster, I'm going to assemble them into the Knot Menasor combined mode and leave them
like
that.
Leave them be.
Yeah, because that's essentially why I'm buying them. So, but yeah, the detail on these guys are so awesome, and the points of articulation is insane. I mean, you got the foot movement, the leg movement, you know, twists, the hands turn, the shoulders, elbows, head is on a swivel up and down. You can't ask for any more articulation. I mean, these things are slightly larger than your, they're slightly larger than a Cyberverse Commander size. The detail and the articulation is just like absolutely insane compared to that. I mean, they're not even in the same league with these guys. And if you haven't picked up any of these guys, I highly recommend them. Like I said, you know, there are points that you have to be careful, and it's not to say Hasbro doesn't have toys like that too. I mean, there's Transformers that are official that have just as many design flaws with them as that. So I'm not sitting here bashing Fans Project by any means, because it's a flipping awesome toy. But that's my ouch, my wallet. Anybody else have anything before we move on?
Michael's the only one we haven't actually asked.
Yeah, you asked me. I had nothing except for a prescription for glasses, and
that's right,
and an internship.
But yeah, Ouch My Wallet has been brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Captured Prey, great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Let's move on to our a few little news items here before we move into our discussion today. I think the first thing that we need to mention. Let me see if I can bring up a screen share here. Start screen share. Yeah, we've got Age of Extinction Optimus Prime. Yeah, this was shown, I believe, at New York Comic Con. This is the leader class version of Optimus Prime for Transformers 4. This is the toy, and
it's transformed properly in these pictures. Looks like the first ones we saw were like. At the booth, it looked horribly mistransformed.
Yeah, they were a bit transformed. The panels weren't where they're supposed to be. Should be stated that this is actually supposed to be in Generations packaging. So possibly as some sort of like preview figure.
And it's leader class?
That's what it's saying.
Wow. Well, I really like the truck mode, the way it's overall designed. I still don't care for the six exhaust pipes. It's a little bit cartoony to me, because
the guy driving is gonna flip on his NOS and.
It just has too much of a cartoony feel to it
Fits the paint job. I mean, the flames, he's been a hot rod truck all along. It was in paint scheme alone before, now they've actually souped him up.
Yeah, but the thing is, the overall truck, it kind of looks like the truck that I wrecked outside of the paint scheme, you know? And
here's what boggles my mind, and I think this kind of is very telling, because I'm reading this press release, and it does say it's going to be in the Generations line. Because remember when they talked about having the main line was going to be simplified transformations to be more kid-friendly, and the Generations line was going to be for the more complex line for like collectors and older kids that wanted something more challenging. And the big concern we had was, okay, well, that's awesome. We get our Generations toys, but what, Dark of the Moon is going to be the main line. So we were thinking all Dark of the Moon toys were going to be like oversimplified. And so what do you do if you want a movie character, but you don't want the simplified kiddie toy? And it looks like that they're going to be releasing some movie toys in the Generations line. So you'll still have the complex versions of some of those toys. That's my speculation based on the fact that this is going to be in the Generations line.
Except this guy looks like a terrible shelf warmer.
Yeah, he doesn't look all that great. I mean, especially compared to the 09 movie leader, Optimus, but from, I guess, Revenge of the Fallen.
He doesn't even look better than the 07.
No. But it still leads us to wonder, though, are we going to see toys in both lines? Like, are you going to have your Bumblebee that they're going to have the simplified, like, upscaled Legend complexity for the kids, and then right next to it on the shelf have a Generations movie Bumblebee that's the exact same car mode but more complicated? I mean, you know, that's what I'm seeing as a possibility due to the fact they're releasing this in Generations Pack.
You know, looking at the up close pictures here, I mean, you can see it's got like a metal, metal flake paint job. I wonder if the metal flake paint job and the chrome is going to come through on the final version of it. That's my biggest question. If it doesn't,
you know how these are.
It's a definite pass.
A Generations Bumblebee looked really nice when they first showed it to us, and it suffers from the same orange plastic, or not orange plastic, but yellow plastic that animated Bumblebee.
Yeah, my guess is that this is probably hand painted, like most of their, toy packaging photos are of the hand painted sample. This is probably the same thing. It's probably an early factory sample, and they painted it by hand to show it off. And so, yeah, I'm willing to bet the actual toy will not be as shiny as this. Because they do this, it's like we always act surprised every time we get a toy that doesn't look as good as the early pictures. And it's like, as fans, we have amnesia. We don't remember that the last toy they showed us didn't look as good as the pictures, because the pictures are of a hand-painted prototype. They're never going to look as good. And yet we always act surprised when they don't.
I think I'm going to hold off final judgment on this toy.
We're probably going to have like flat reds, flat blues, some dull gray plastic.
Yeah, I kind of see that happening, but I'm going to hold off my final judgment on that toy.
I think we'll get the chrome released.
Yeah.
I think we'll get the chrome, because that's a whole different process in the factory. I can't see them chroming the sample and then not chroming the final product.
Yeah. I can see myself actually picking this toy up, one, if I have the money, and two, simply for the truck mode, because I do like the truck mode overall. It looks really good. And the robot, I think if you take those stupid-looking weapons off of it, it would be all right. I don't care. I know Sideburn 2 and I were actually talking about this before the podcast, but I don't care for the chest area and the waist area the way it looks. The hip kibble and the shoulder kibble I can live with. I don't love it, but I can live with it. I just don't like the overall aesthetic of the chest and the hips.
Well, the movie Prime Design in the first three movies, the only thing that was yet in common with the iconic Optimus Prime was the chest windows, and they've taken those away. That's what stuck out to me, was like, oh, there's no chest windows now.
Yeah.
There's nothing other than the color scheme, there's nothing to make this an Optimus Prime toy. I mean, it just has been Ultra Magnus or Motor Master. I mean, the design does not scream Optimus Prime anymore.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, the design might look fine in CG. I'm going to wait and see what that looks like, but the toy is garbage. I mean, I sold all but four movie toys, and one of the ones I definitely couldn't get rid of was the Revenge of the Fallen Leader Optimus, because it's just an amazing figure. And so I have no need for this.
I actually know where mine is. I sold it. I actually know where mine is. I actually traded it in to CapturedPrey.com, and I traded it in a year ago, and I know he still has it. I know he still has it. So
well, I mean, I'm like you. I like the new truck. I like the new design. To me, I only needed one movie Prime before, was the leader from Revenge of the Fallen, because it was the best version. And it is, and Prime is going to look different in this movie. His design has changed. His truck has changed. So I wouldn't mind having another version of that just go beside the other one on my shelf. But here's the thing. I kind of agree with Sideburn 2. This thing is garbage. Because when the pictures first showed up, we didn't know what size it was. I honestly, due to the way the kibble was hanging off and all that crap on his back, I thought it was a deluxe. Yeah. I mean, especially with the way like the truck cab, like the winch or something on the back of the feet, it looked like a complicated deluxe, which would be about right for a movie figure. And so when I heard rumblings this was going to be the leader, and of course it was later confirmed, I'm like, okay, the Deluxe could get away with all that kibble. The Voyager, it's a little iffy, but I could probably still let it pass. But for a leader class, that toy's big enough, they could have done something with all that kibble better than just having it hanging off everywhere. There's just no excuse for the leader toy to look like that. If it were smaller, yes, but no, that ain't working for me.
I mean, the 2007 movie leader toy didn't have that much kibble. And he was much simpler and a far better figure from the looks of it. I mean, that toy was a fun figure.
Yeah, he was definitely more fun to transform than the Revenge of the Fallen one. But now this thing here, I mean, like I said, if this were a Voyager, I'd think it, you know, hey, it looks, you know, hey, that's good enough. Let's see what the leader looks like. But this is the leader. I don't have a lot of hope for this line.
Yeah. I didn't have much hope for it being Hasbro going with simplification, because they saw how well that worked in Dark of the Moon. Going with this oversimplification and the movie figures, they don't work with simplification. You got to pull so many cheap tricks, which usually ends up in kibble.
Well, now, I will agree that the Dark of the Moon Bumblebee toy I picked up, I was actually, the simplification worked on that. He was much more pleasant.
Some of those Bumblebee toys did work.
Yeah, but I have to say,
there was so much Bumblebee fatigue, I didn't pick any of them up.
He was a good toy.
I wanted the Cyberfire Bumblebee with the
evil
glowing eyes. I have that one. I have that one too. It's the same mold. It's a good toy.
I never ended up getting that.
There was a cost to be paid. Because to me, the original movie Concept B was the most screen accurate as far as the body goes. The head was a little off. I know a lot of people wanted to say the Battleblade Bumblebee, but he was just too tall and lanky. And it was basically the car parts didn't break up enough. In the movie, there weren't any car pieces bigger than my fist on the robot because everything broke up so much. And I think the Concept Camaro B from the 07 movie was the best deluxe-sized Bumblebee we got to emulate the movie look of the body and the transformation. You know, so even though the Dark of the Moon one was simpler and easier to transform, it wasn't as screen accurate. But if they could have went that direction with these toys, okay, it's a little less screen accurate, but it transforms well. But I can't believe they couldn't get rid of more of this kibble. I mean, this thing is just atrocious. It's like an RID toy. I mean, the thing's got more kibble than sideburn.
Yeah, it's like...
Easy now.
It's like...
Oh, I like Sideburn, but he's got a lot of
kibble. Shell former, like, because when I first started talking about it on our YouTube group, you know, I was like, you know, you can tell he's a shell former, and that's not always a bad thing. I mean, Big Convoy is freaking, you know, awesome figure, and he is, you know, the mother of all
shell formers. Yeah.
Literally, you can take off all the animal pieces and build a mammoth right next to him.
I think you can do that as Prime. I think you can build a truck next to the robot.
Yeah.
He just folds up like this, and he's just got mammoth parts around him. Yeah.
And where this suffers is that all the parts that are robot parts don't look cool. They look like a toy. It just – and that's weird to say because since we collect toys, but there's just something about it. The aesthetics are weird and – I don't know. It's that movie. Like I said before, I just don't think the movie toys work well with this simplification in most instances.
Well, I mean, you can, saying that a toy is too simplified and it's not cool because it's too simple is not really fair by definition. Because I mean, shoot. I mean, my favorite toy, G1 Werewolf, I mean, it's essentially, you know, take his head off, take his weapons off here. You know, this is how simple this guy is, you know, for people that don't know. Put the wolf head
and then
up.
Cheetor transformation.
Yeah, I mean, basically, put that like that. Like that. Pull that down. And stick the wolf tail in there. Boom. That's his transformation. I mean, it's very, very simple and took me less than 30 seconds to do.
Power Master Optimus Prime. I could do a similar little display here.
But the thing is, while he's doing that, you know, it's a simple transformation.
Oh, this won't take long.
Boom. I've got him back. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that a toy sucks because it's got a simple transformation. That's not what we're saying here. you know, these are great toys. I mean, I've got G1 Tracks here. He's super simple too. You know, I mean, you flip that up, flip his arms around, flip his waist around, flip his feet up and slide it up, and he's done. He's a Corvette, and a very good-looking Corvette at that. And he turns into a good-looking robot. Oh, wow. Our YouTube channel just went kaput. An error occurred. Please try again.
Well, we're still showing on air here in the chat window, so.
Yeah, so hopefully our YouTube channel will keep going.
But yeah, the thing here is that the simplification okay. Doesn't lend itself, and it's still going for me.
Yeah,
it doesn't lend itself to the overly complex designs that they decided to go with in the movies to begin with. You know, if they wanted it to be simpler, they didn't have to go so, you know, exploding metal, as they've coined the phrase with the transformations.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. They have to fake a lot more. If they simplify the toy because the design is so complex, a lot more stuff has to be faked.
Basically, what you're saying, basically what you're saying is that if you design a simple transformer, and the animation model and everything is supposed to be simple, then it's not going to be a bad toy. It shouldn't be a bad toy because it's not designed to be a complex toy. But you have a complex figure or complex character, and you give it a simple figure. The simple figure doesn't capture what the complex character design is trying to convey.
Right,
and it just
if the hood of the truck is supposed to break up and go all over his chest, but you want to keep the toy simple, you're not going to have the actual truck hood breaking up all over the chest. So it's going to end up being a big piece of kibble, and then you're going to have fake, you know, hood pieces all over the chest. And when you consider how many robots look like you said, you know, the metal just explodes and rearranges and makes a robot, you know, they're, and if you don't have the toy actually doing that, then like the Revenge of the Fallen Prime Leader, then you're going to have all those car parts that don't break up are going to be kibble and with fake car parts stuck wherever. And I think that's what this Leader Prime is a perfect example of. It's like you said, you get a complex character done simple, it doesn't convey well. Because if you don't actually break up any of those truck panels to put on the truck, on the body, then they're just going to all be kibble. And that's exactly what this is.
I feel if we got a picture of him underneath in truck mode, you would see most of him just sort of tucked up under there, you know? None of his chest or his waist, most of his legs and his arms don't transform. They're just solid chunks that are hidden away by all those panels, and
the legs look like they might transform a little.
And they do transform a bit, yeah.
Make it the front end of the truck, but it's like everything from like the cab back. It's like everything that's not the front end of the truck is just kibble.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Let's see here. I'm looking something up here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures. The earlier news story where the model was out there and we didn't know what size it was without the press release.
And with the really ugly yellow weapons. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can see the front end of the truck makes the feet, but it's like the whole back end of the truck is just, it's just on his back. And the sides of the truck, like the sides of the sleeper, are just hanging off the sides.
Yeah.
Looks like the top of the sleeper is just hanging off the shoulders.
But I do believe we beat the poor Age of Extinction Leader Class Optimus Prime into the ground.
Not sufficiently. He needs more beating.
Yeah.
We'll do it next week, though.
He's a pretty fugly toy, I have to give it that. But we do have other things to talk about here. Let me pull up my screen share one more time.
I don't know how many stories you have planned.
I had these two. But then we've got the Unique Toys Messiah. This is a third-party character. We had the teaser picture a few weeks back, but now we have prototype.
Okay, I gotta go change my pants again.
Yeah. It is the third-party Galvatron, and I've already seen some people hating on this guy, but I think he looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he doesn't look exactly like a G1 Galvatron, but he looks like Galvatron. You know, he would never be the masterpiece Galvatron on my shelf, but he looks better than the Hasbro Classics Galvatron we got. I don't know what size this thing is supposed to be. He kind of looks like he may have a little bit of an IDW influence. I'm not that familiar with the IDW
I believe he's Voyager size.
Okay, well, see, this is good because he would fit on a classic shelf really well. Put him next to my Scourge and Cyclonus.
And as you can see, like right underneath the toy here where my mouse is, he's got some. There's a picture of the gun mode. Actually, I think I've got I saw some tweets here earlier.
I also heard some people talking about Unique Toys not being the best company to produce something like this because I guess their quality hasn't been that great. What else have they released? What's under their banner?
I'm not exactly sure if you can do a quick Google search of that real quick.
They're doing one of the other Predaking's. They're a brand new company.
They did the other Predaking.
Yeah, well, there's like three different Predaking's, but they're doing one of them. Yeah, because TFC Toys is doing the third one. So, yeah, this is the second one. There's Mastermind Creations and then these guys. Some of those are in stock. Have there been reviews online? How's the quality? I guess it's not good if people are saying this isn't a good company to be releasing Galvatron. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping it's good quality. If it's not, it's Galvatron. Okay. I'm going to buy it anyway. If she's got loose joints, I'll try to tighten them up. If he's got stuff to
chew on, I've seen these online.
I'll put time into this guy to make him work if he's not the best quality. I'll do what I can to fix him. Just because it's Galvatron, I got to buy it. I'm all over this.
Okay. I think he's got started out.
Here's another picture of it right here. And then, let's see here. There's the full color picture of it.
Oh, check out that cannon mode.
Yes.
Wow, got to have it. Well, now, notice on that picture you were showing, that last one where you see the whole poster. Let me click you so you're full my full screen.
What, that one right there?
Mic. The other one you showed.
That would be...
The one where you can see the whole poster and you can see the cannon mode really well.
Oh, okay, that was the first one that I put up. That one right there?
No, that one, there it is. Yeah, because I know everybody's calling this thing Messiah, but I notice on that poster... It says maniacal.
Yeah.
Which makes more sense because he's insane, maniacal. So I don't know where the Messiah came from, but because of their poster there shows maniacal. It's a better name for the character.
Yeah. Well, there's also one other picture that was also shown, and these were pictures. I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Radio Free Cybertron was tweeting these a while ago, but we got a third-party Sharktacon. Looks like
what Unique... is that next to him there?
Like
a dog truck looking thing.
What that is it? Looks like I believe it's one of the Predaking hands or something other. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know what that is, but this is also from Unique Toys, and yeah, it's a pretty awesome looking Sharktacon. I have to give them that they've got the designs down. Whether their QC comes through or not is left to be.
I think their first, when they did Warhawk, and she was the first one that released from the their Predaking, I believe it had some issues, like a lot of criticisms. I think their quality has gotten a bit better on each subsequent release. Their Predaking, you know, the individual robots still kind of look a little, you know.
Yeah. Well, you got to figure that
But I've not heard as much bad things about him in reviews as I used to.
Well, you got to figure everybody's got to start somewhere. I mean, even Fans Project, they've got awesome stuff like this now, but they started out as just add-on kits for like Cliff Jumper and Classics Prime mold and the Classics Hot Rod to make him Rodimus. You know, they just started out with that, and they really, while they were cool, they really weren't full figure cool. And they've gotten better over time. I can see companies, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt. I would really, really like to pick up this figure, the Galvatron and the Sharktacon. But I want to hear some review and see some reviews first.
No, I don't know. I may not even wait for the reviews. I may just go and grab. Well, I may wait just because if they're crappy reviews, he may end up on deep clearance like Sonicron.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be the guy. I wouldn't want to be the guy that bought Sonicron at $60.
Yeah.
When he ends up 20 later. So yeah, I may wait just for that reason, but I'm not going to wait long. If the especially if the reviews are positive, or it you know at least above or he's above average quality, for it looks like he may not go on deep clearance early, I'll go ahead and pick him up.
Yeah. But I believe that'll do it for our news talk tonight. I want to get into our actual discussion topic. The whole purpose of the episode today. I asked the other day what got you into the hobby of collecting, and I've actually read things on other message boards about people and their collecting habits and. You know, and there's numerous threads on every message board about, you know, what got you into Transformers and what keeps you active and what keeps you hot for the franchise, you know. And everybody's story is different. My story is different, and you guys' stories are different. And I figured we would take this opportunity to share our stories and kind of discuss what collecting is for us and what it means to us. Just to, you know, for the listeners out there who are listening, how you feel about the toys and you can kind of relate to us and kind of get a feel of how the fandom is. You know, sometimes you can kind of get a skewed view of it whenever you go to the message boards and you have the people that post. You know, they think they're anonymous and what they say doesn't hurt other people. Where, you know, the people on the other side of the posts are real people. So, you know, what we're talking about here is real and it's something near and dear to our hearts, or else we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be live on YouTube. We wouldn't be on this podcast, and you wouldn't be listening to us on your iPhone or iPad or whatever you're listening to us on. You know, we're here because this franchise is really fascinating to us, and it's something that's really fun. And I figured we'd kind of tell our stories and just kind of after we tell each of our stories, how we got into it, what keeps us interested, what we really love about it, and what it means to us, then we'll kind of basically go over that after all three of us talk about it, and just kind of overview it as a group. And I'm kind of glad we kind of have a small crew tonight, because if we had like five people, we'd be here for an hour and a half just talking about our stories. But Sideburn, why don't you go first? What got you started in Transformers, and what keeps you coming back for more? And what does collecting, being a Transformers collector, mean to you?
Well, Beast Wars got me into collecting. It was, let's see, the first figure I ever got was Pterosaur, the original Flip Changer. I don't know. I remember seeing it. It was before I had seen any of the show. I saw it at a Walmart. I was with my grandma, and she bought it. You know, that was back when a Scout was $3.99 or something like that. It was cheap, you know. And I can't quite remember how it happened, but I guess I found the show on, you know. Every morning, it came on every morning before I went to school in elementary school, and I would wake up 30 minutes early to make sure I watched Beast Wars every day. And you know, then I started asking for the toys for birthdays and Christmas, and whenever I managed to sneak out, you know, a little allowance or something like that from my parents. It was Beast Wars figures, and I don't know, as a kid, I didn't get into a lot of different things. I was into Beast Wars and Pokemon pretty much, and so it just kind of stuck with me. And then as you know, time progressed, and Beast Machines was coming out, and it felt like there was a huge delay between Beast Wars and Beast Machines. But you know, that's when the internet really started becoming accessible, and I was old enough to start using the internet, and this was really towards the end of Beast Machines, and I started going online looking up Transformers, and I happened upon a message board called Transformers Homage, and I joined it.
I tend to remember that one.
I joined it, and I found out that you can collect Transformers, and that seemed like such a foreign concept to me. But I was like, okay, I can get into this. Transformers are cool, and you know, I started seeing some G1 Transformers. You know, I would go to Unicron.com back then. That was a site you went to look at, you know, all those old Transformers and stuff, and talk to you guys on the message board, and started, you know, looking at that stuff. And then RID was right around the corner, and I was like, excited that they were going to be cars again, because I, you know, my Transformers were animals, and yeah, I thought I was missing something with them, you know, being cars and stuff like that. So it came out, and I loved it, and I don't know, it just stuck with me, and it wasn't long. I'm gonna admit to being quite the dorky Transformers fan here. I got onto some message boards and started doing some Transformers role play kind of stuff, and I liked making my own characters, and I liked to draw my own characters, and so I guess for me it really started becoming a thing about imagination. You know, Transformers are it brings out the creative side of me. You got cars that turn into robots, animals that turn into robots, and it's, I don't know, something that just stuck with me is this is cool. And then now as an adult, I mean, it's easier to be an adult fan than it ever has been, because they've started, you know, there's actually adult Transformers, certain things geared towards adults that collect the stuff, you know, like the comic books and masterpiece figures and stuff like that. And that's just, I don't know, it's the imaginative part of me that's really kept me into it. And
well, they're just flat out cool too.
Yeah, I mean, you can't complain about anything that turns into a giant robot. I mean, that's just, you can't go wrong.
Most definitely. Is that what keeps you coming back for more?
I guess it's just that it's something that's always been there. That I guess you could say I didn't grow out of it. When I get a new Beast Wars figure that I wanted so much as a kid, and I get it, and it's like, this is so cool. This is, oh man, I've been waiting all this time, and this is just awesome. And you know, I still get that feeling of joy when I, especially if I can get it mint sealed, you know, and I get to actually open it. Man, that's awesome. So I don't know. I guess it's just because, you know, I don't know. It's really, for me, it's one of those things, I don't know. I guess it's just keeps the child part of me alive. And
well, that's, you know, it's always important to keep.
Some people could do with not, you know, getting too serious in life, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can't be too serious in life. I mean, you got to have some little release that is, you know, a bit childish. I mean, everybody has one. My wife has one, you know.
Life that is lived all serious with no fun is a wasted life.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. If you're one of those boring old stuffy people and you're 80 years old, first off, you're probably not listening to this, but if you were, you've wasted your life. Should have let you know, cut loose, had a little fun.
Yeah.
When you got something like this, I mean, there's adult in the world that's not going to think this thing is cool. I mean, Masterpiece Grimlock is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So.
And pretty expensive now too. That Toya fits a pretty penny right now. But you know, it's important to know that, you know, nostalgia is a huge part of this fandom, and I think we'll touch on that a little bit more here as we wrap it up once we're done. But finally, I guess, what does collecting Transformers mean to you? I mean, are you proud to be a collector, and if you are, why?
I guess it's still Cyberborn going.
Yeah, we'll get to you in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I don't know, I'm
also not sure if we were round table or what.
I'm a super dork, a super nerd. You know, video games. Yeah, I'm a freaking software engineer. Video games, action figures, Magic the Gathering, you know, card games and stuff like that. It's all been up my alley, my entire life, and you know, I'm definitely not ashamed of it. You know, I bump into people in the Walmart toy aisle all the time, and we'll stand there and talk for like 30 minutes about the toys that are on the pegs, and it's hard to explain what it means to me. It's, you know, it's a large part that it's part of my childhood. But it's also, you know, it's that imaginative, dorky, sci-fi loving, video game playing.
Basically, it's
part of me that just finds this stuff awesome.
It's that side of you. I mean, there are people out there. I mean, I can understand if people don't like sci-fi and everything, and they just totally don't get it. But you know, for people that do like sci-fi, I think they would totally get it, because you know, it's an extension of what you enjoy. You know, is like, you know, you can watch Star Trek in the theaters and on TV, and you can have Star Trek toys. You know, you can have that cool Mr. Spock or a cool Data action figure to set up on a shelf.
I'm one of the ships.
Yeah.
I'm one of the ships.
Or the ships.
I never one of the action figures.
Yeah, or the ships. You know, it's an extension of your interests and everything. I mean, with Transformers, it's a little bit backwards. It's usually toys first, then media second, you know, because...
Well, that was Hasbro's model, but I think for us, or at least for me, and I think most of you would agree, we watched the cartoon, and that's what got us hooked. Then we wanted the toys to have physical representations of the characters on the screen.
Yeah. Me is a little bit different, but I'll get to me in a minute. Greg, tell us about you.
Well, mine's going to be kind of in two stages. I mean, originally I was in the Transformers back in the 80s. You know, I remember I was in kindergarten, and our teacher would let us watch the Bozo show on the WGN, the Chicago station, and depending on where you're at, you may or may not have heard of that station, or if you may or may not have heard of Bozo the Clown. But apparently he was sponsored by Hasbro, because they were always giving away like Transformers stuff with their games that the kids would play on the show. But when Transformers first started, that was my first exposure to it. Like the More Than Meets the Eye 3 parts, well, they would only play 10 minutes at a time, so you'd watch like half of the first episode, and then the next day would be the other half of the first episode, and so on and through the week. And so I remember... At that time, this whole concept, I mean, yeah, die clones have existed in Japan, and I think they tried to import it over here, but it's one of those things where it hadn't really been put in the forefront where we could see it. There may have been die clone stuff in the toy aisles, but I walked right by and never gave it a thought. But seeing this concept of the robots turning into vehicles.
There wasn't much of a push behind it.
Yeah. So as a kid, I just never noticed it until this cartoon. And I remember what I loved about it. Because, see, you know, they always talk about wanting to have the humans in the show for the kids to relate to. I didn't, because they made the robots the characters. I related to the characters because I thought it would be so cool to be able to turn into a truck and drive away. You know, I didn't put myself in the place of Spike. I put myself in the place of Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I thought, oh, that is the coolest concept ever, to be a guy walking around and I could turn into a truck and drive down the road.
Right, as a Beast Wars fan, I definitely understand that one.
Yeah. And so for me, I never identified with the humans. I always identified with the robots, and just the concept of, you know, being a sentient being like a human, but they were robots, but they were like humans. It made them very human in the show. But to turn into a vehicle, it was like the greatest thing ever. And then when I found out there were toys, I was like, oh, I've got to have those. And I was like begging my mom, Mom, I want Optimus Prime. Mom, I want Optimus Prime. And she's like, what's Optimus Prime? And I'm like, it's this cartoon. It comes on the Bozo Show. Watch it tomorrow while I'm at school, because we watch it at school. And I just went on and on and on. I wanted Optimus Prime because it was the coolest toy ever. It was a robot and a truck. And I ended up getting him, I think it was for Christmas that year, or it may have been my birthday. I can't remember. I was so little. I just remember I really, really wanted it, and I ended up getting it. And it was my favorite toy all through until Power Master Prime came out, because then I thought he was even cooler. But that was, you know, a few years later. But, yeah, I was just hooked instantly. And I stayed in the Transformers all the way up until the show was gone. And where I lived, I didn't have good access to the comics. I only ever picked up an issue or two. Like in the 70s, you know, issue number 72, I think, was the first one I ever bought. So I was – by that point, I had kind of moved on to Ninja Turtles because there was still a cartoon. But I still liked Transformers, but I wasn't really asking for them that much anymore because, you know, the ones I wanted were no longer around. And the ones on the shelves now, I didn't have a clue who these guys were. And then, of course, after – by the time I got into Ninja Turtles, I was at the age where I didn't really play with toys as much, but I still liked them. I'd kind of set up dioramas. I would occasionally get a Transformer for Christmas or something from somebody, a relative who was a few years behind, knew I used to like them. I'd get like a Pretender or something. I'm like, what's this? It was kind of cool, but I think I had Landmine. If the robot folds up, it doesn't look like anything. But I played with it because I was a kid. I liked it. So I kind of fell out of the Transformers, because then after the Ninja Turtles, I started getting into girls and kind of into the phase where I was done with toys. I wanted a car and I wanted a girl. So that was where my mind went. And it wasn't until I got married I got married in 96, which was right after high school. And my daughter was like 4 going on 5 in 2000. And, now ex-wife, my wife at the time, had gotten a part-time job in the evenings. So I would come home from work, and it's me and my daughter there. So we would watch cartoons together. And that's when I discovered Beast Wars. This was around the time Beast Wars was playing in the evenings, and I guess the new episodes were always on Saturdays. And so Beast Machines was playing, but I was unaware of that because I didn't watch them on Saturday morning. So my daughter's watching cartoons. We turned on the Fox because they had like the Fox Block or whatever it was called. Four Kids. But I can't remember what it was called.
I think it was still Fox Kids back then.
Yeah. Kids. Okay, yeah, that's right. Fox Kids. And they were playing Beast Wars.
And used to play cartoons in the morning and after you got home from school.
Yeah, and this was – at this point, it was in the evenings. I'd get home from work and my daughter would be sitting there watching them. And it was – I guess because Beast Machines was already airing, they were doing the rerunning the entirety of Beast Wars. And I think we sat down in – I think it was in toward the end of season one, because it wasn't long until they became Transmetals. But I remember watching the first few episodes with her and I was like – well, the first episode I watched, I didn't catch the very opening where it said Transformers. It came on and here were these, you know, animals that, you know, like a gorilla talking and stuff, and they would turn into robots. And I'm like, that robot kind of looks like Optimus Prime, but he's got a mouth. So anyway, we're watching that. And of course, next commercial break, whatever, I find it, you know, Beast Wars, Transformers. I'm like, these are the new Transformers? Well, that's kind of lame. You know, there should be cars and trucks. I was a truck, not monkey, without even ever hearing that phrase online. Because at this point, I don't even think I was really on the internet yet. I hadn't got my computer. They became Transmetals, which then was cooler because they were robotic animals. You know, much like, you know, what I remembered as a kid. You know, if they were animals, they were robotic animals. I thought, okay, well, that's kind of cool. So now I was kind of digging them. And then, of course, the story really captivated me. I really got into the story. I was like, well, this is all kind of nostalgia flowing back. Then I did finally get a computer and get on the internet. Found out about Japanese reissues at the beginning of the TFC book style. And so I'm like, caught those on sale somewhere. And I'm like, well, I kind of remember those characters. And at this point, I didn't remember that much about G1 because I was so young when the cartoon aired. I remembered like Optimus Prime. Now, he was the first one to pop back into my memory. And then when I saw the Beast Wars, I was like, well, you know, it looks like Optimus Prime. So I get online, I'm Googling all these characters, all this stuff comes flooding back. All these memories of the guys from the show. I even had some missed memories of toys that didn't really exist because I mixed two up. Somehow in my mind, Ultra Magnus and Motor Master had gotten merged together in my memory. And I was thinking there was a black version of Optimus Prime that had a trailer attached to it and it transformed all as one robot. But it actually used the Optimus Prime cab because you could pull it off and make it a little black. But obviously, I mixed those two up because it never existed. That's how fuzzy my memory was. So then I started reading the old comics. I found those online, which I'd never got to read before. Then I discovered the message boards. There's a website called transfans.com. That's where they had the comic scans. I was reading those, and then I found their message boards. I never even heard of a message board before because, again, new to the internet. And that's where I met Duran, because I mentioned being in Kentucky, and he's like, wait, I am too. And we lived about an hour apart. And so we became friends. And then it's just all downhill from there. I mean, it's just that nostalgia bug. You know, the more stuff I watched, the more memories I got. And I, you know, heard some audio clips from Transformers the movie. And I would just replay those things constantly. Just little snippets like Optimus Prime saying, "You who are without mercy, now plead for it. Thought you were made of sterner stuff." And so I just would listen to that, you know, over and over. Until they finally started releasing stuff on DVD. And then I started picking up, you know, Transformers episodes and Transformers the movie. And I think at one point I'd even bought some bootleg VHS tapes of the entire series and watched those. Yeah, and I think it's just been downhill ever since. I've kind of gone through all the different phases that a lot of collectors do. I started out being, you know, I was so into Transformers, I wanted to be a completist. You know, I picked up those first reissues. Yeah. I picked up those first reissues, and it was instant love because they were toys I never owned, but I, again, remembered them from the cartoon. I remembered always wanting a Trax, but was never got one as a kid. You know, that was the one when my parents tried to find it, they never could. It was always sold out. Even tried ordering it from Sears out of the Sears catalog, the Wish book, and it, you know, they got the notice that it was out of stock. And so he was in that first four. You know, I think it was Jazz, and I'm having trouble remembering. I thought it was Jazz. Was Prowl in the first four? I don't remember. But anyway, I ordered the first four, got those, and then it was downhill from there. Then I had to have everything. But before I bought those, there was one more stage in there. When we were watching the Beast Wars, I remember I was, you know, working for Pepsi, and I would stop by the magazine rack at a store that I would stop every morning and then flip through some like gaming magazines. I was real big into gaming back then. And there was a little news story in there about how the real Transformers, even had it in quotes, were coming back, because in Japan, it was talking about the car robots. They had a picture of R.D. Sideburn in red. And having kind of gotten into the Beast Wars watching with my daughter, I think it was really cool, you know, the mechanical beast, but I still kind of wanted them to be vehicles. And so when I saw this article, I was like, oh, they're coming back. And so R.D. came along, and I can't remember. I think R.D. and the reissues came out around the same time. Because I think first what I did is I bought toys for my daughter, because at that point I'd been out of toys since I was younger, and I still wasn't into the collecting yet, because I thought, well, it's not right for, you know, a man in his early 20s to be buying toys. So, you know, I bought an RID Optimus and Ultra Magnus for my daughter, and of course she was like, you know, 5 years old. She couldn't play with those toys, so I ended up playing with them more than she did. And so finally I ended up just going ahead and admitting it, okay, I want these toys. And so I started buying for myself, and it's been downhill ever since. Of course, then I went through a divorce and moved out and was single for a lot of years. And so I was just able to just, you know, try to collect stuff. And I went through, I collected everything, and then I started realizing that was just taking too much money, and most crap, you know, it was like Armada toys. Loved them when I first got them, opened them, messed with them just because it was something new and different. Put them on a shelf, forget about them. And I realized, okay, I need to stop buying this stuff, unless it actually means something to me.
Yeah, I hit that point over the summer when I sold all my Neocron Trilogy stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I haven't touched this stuff in a year, and it's gray. There's so much dust on it.
Yeah, so that's what I did. I got rid of a lot of stuff, and I think it was around 2008. No, that was in 2004, I think. And so then Classics came along, and I was still just collecting like G1 reissues, and I'd occasionally pick up a new figure or two, and it was a good homage to something. Because I still kind of had a hankering for something classics-ish, like new versions of old characters. So instead of buying everything, I was just buying the good homages. Like I had Cybertron Exilion because he looked like Hot Rod. And it wasn't until Classics came out that I finally got rid of all that other stuff. It's okay, I'm just going to do Classics and still G1 reissues. Of course, then we had Masterpiece Prime came out, and the Masterpiece line was starting up. And then finally, even that started to get a little bit taxing. So I think it was in 2008 when I had to really – I looked at the size of my collection and realized I've just got too much crap, because I don't like – I know a lot of collectors do this, and I'm not condemning anyone, but I don't see the point in owning toys that are just going to be stowed away in a bin in the basement, garage, or the attic, because to me, if you can't display it, why even own it? And that was where my collection was getting. I had more stuff than I had room to display, and so I had to decide what direction I wanted to go, and I decided to go with classics and
Earth. I know for a fact you had like two closets full of stuff that was just in a closet. Oh.
Yeah, I had nowhere to put it. So I decided to get rid of all the classics and everything. I just kept a few G1 figures. I had like duplicates. I don't know when the reissues were coming out. I was buying two of everything, one to open, one to keep sealed. And so I sold off all the duplicates. I kept one of each reissue and then sold off all my classics and everything. But then that was in 2008 at that BotCon. And then they announced the Universe line. There was a Galvatron in it. Cyclonus was a Target Master. So I kind of got sucked back in and bought all the Henkes of the classics I sold, which were nicer decos anyway. And kind of got caught up in that mess again, running all these classics. And again, I realized I got too much crap. And so I started getting rid of a bunch of it again a couple years ago. And I thinned down to where now my focus is just G1 and Masterpiece, the new Masterpiece lines. And occasionally I pick up another figure or two, like this Bruticus and this Ruination. But I'm a lot more selective in what I purchase, and I'm mindful of where am I going to put it. So I don't buy nearly as much as I used to. I've been learning a lot more restraint. Occasionally I like a little impulse buy will hit me, like these Starscreams and Megatron, because they're really small and cheap. The good little desk fiddle toys. And that's where I am now in the collecting.
Well, what does collecting mean to you as a collector, as an adult collector? What does Transformers collecting mean to you?
Well, that's why I know a lot of people went with classics over G1 and now they're going with Masterpiece over classics. Because everybody wants the newest version of the characters they care about. But for me, it was all the warm and fuzzy memories of being a kid playing with these toys. So to me, you make the argument that for collector's items, the newer stuff is better. And the classics are better than G1, but it doesn't have that nostalgic feel. I go pick up my G1 Optimus Prime or G1 Scorponok or Fort Max or some random Headmaster or Stranglehold. It's the memories. Because see, to me, it's not so much about the toys themselves as it is the memories that are associated with them. Like as a kid, I wanted every Transformer because I loved them so much. And obviously, it was an unrealistic goal as a kid. My parents didn't make that kind of money. But I've been single for a lot of years. I have made that kind of money. And so that's why I'm trying to complete the USG1 now. I'm trying to fulfill that dream I had as a child. For all I know, once I finally complete USG1, I might be like, okay, I've lost interest because I've achieved that goal. And I may just pick a handful of figures that I really like and sell everything. Then again, I may just keep them forever. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But that's what it means to me, is just the memories. It's the childhood memories because, let's face it. We always hear people say, when you're in high school, oh, remember these are the best days of your life. And people in high school talk to elementary school kids and say, hey, remember these days. These are the best of your life. Because there was less stress when we were little because our parents had to deal with all the stress. And so life is hard. Life is stressful. And so it's a form of escapism. I pick up my Power Master Prime, and it brings back all the memories of being a carefree kid sitting in the living room floor playing with Power Master Prime. And it makes me think of my stepdad who bought me that Power Master Prime, who died of cancer several years ago. So there's just so many memories associated with these G1 toys that's why I collect them. It's a trip down memory lane every time I pick one up, and those warm, fuzzy feelings come back. I could still possibly have those memories, and my brain would still hold them. But this is just a tangible way to bring those memories to the forefront. Because if I didn't have the toys, how often would I recall these memories? Not nearly as often as I do having the toys. And it's a good way to escape the stress of everyday life.
And it's cool. Okay. They're cool.
Yeah. That's why I liked them as a kid. That's why I said, they are cool. But for me, the biggest thing is that the memories. That's why I decided when narrowing down my collection, I said, G1 is what I'm definitely keeping. And I do like to mess with them because they are cool. They are fun. I mean, the same reason I liked them as a kid, I like them now. I'm fascinated by the engineering, the idea that a little man could turn to a truck. It's just really cool to me. So they're like the coolest toy line ever. Because I have warm memories attached to Ninja Turtles, too, but I don't really collect those. Because Ninja Turtles, while they're cool, not as cool as Transforming Robots.
And you were much older whenever Ninja Turtles came along, so they don't
They were around the same time. They were around the 80s, too. But it was just at some point, I was probably watching both.
That you were an older child whenever they came along, so they didn't stick with you as much as Transformers did.
No, because I think Ninja Turtles came out like in the mid-80s. Didn't it come out like 84, 85, around the same time?
88, I believe.
88? I was thinking It was a little earlier than that. Okay. Well, I was still young enough of a kid. I do have the warm, fuzzy memories for Ninja Turtles. I did buy those Ninja Turtle classics that came out, and I do have a few vintage Turtles. And, you know, I mean, I do kind of have those same memories with those. Just like Legos. Legos, another thing I was real big into as a kid. So to take a bucket of Legos, dump it on the floor, like when my daughter was smaller, sit there and play with Legos, it took me back to my childhood. So, you know, any of those childhood toy lines do that. But because Transformers, the concept was so cool and I fell so in love with it, you know, that is what I prefer over the Legos or the Ninja Turtles. I mean, if there were no Transformers, I would probably be a Ninja Turtle or Lego collector. Because of it would associate me to those memories as being a kid. But Transformers was my favorite of all those toys, so that's the one I've latched onto.
Most definitely. Well, for me, I became a collector back whenever it all began in 1984. It was probably late 84, early 85, whenever I got my first toy. But I was a fan, hook, line, and sinker whenever I first started seeing the More Than Meets the Eye series. It aired as a weekday special. Instead of showing He-Man, they showed, or G.I. Joe, they showed Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye. And I thought it was a really cool concept, but at the time, you know, Robotech was still kind of new, and I was watching that, and, you know, it was cool, but hadn't totally taken grip to me. And I was really, really big into He-Man. And, you know, those little rubber dolls, as my dad would call them. He always made fun of me. You know, I'd say, you're sitting there playing with them rubber dolls. You're a boy. You should be playing with cars and stuff. But I really liked action figures. You know, I wanted to fight them together and everything.
Yeah, they were action figures, not dolls.
Yeah,
you could not their hair and you could not change their clothes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw them that way, but my dad didn't. You know, he was all gung ho. You know, you shouldn't be playing with dolls. You know, but you know, all that changed. The summer of 1985, I nearly died as a child. I contracted a rare heart disease. I'd been in contact with something that was in carpet that the chemicals in it interacted with my blood chemistry, and it caused some kind of rare heart disease. And
is it kind of like a lead paint issue, but instead of paint, it was carpet, something used in the carpet?
I really don't remember. All I know is that it was a really bad reaction, and it started out, I had almost flu-like symptoms. And then it went on, and the medication they gave me didn't help, and I got worse and worse and worse, and finally I was hospitalized. And at first, the doctors diagnosed me with leukemia because I had a lot of the symptoms of that as well. And so that kind of gives you an idea of how sick I was. And I was actually an older kid, but, you know, growing up in Eastern Kentucky, you know, I was in a very rural area, and I didn't get a chance to, you know, I had one really good friend, and he lived next door, but he was several years younger than me. And, you know, we got to play together a lot, but, you know, I just didn't get to socialize a whole lot. So the toys were pretty much, you know, my way of entertaining myself. TV back in those days, you know, satellite TV was around, but wasn't really affordable by most people. Certainly not.
Yeah, it wasn't the little mini satellites. You had like the giant satellite out in the backyard that was like what the TV stations used to pick up the satellite signals.
Yeah. And, you know, my mom and dad, my dad, he owned his own business and he made decent money, but not, you know, not enough that, you know, we lived in luxury or anything. You know, so whenever I did get toys, it was generally something that was affordable and small. He-Man figures, I believe, were around back in the day were around $5 or $6, which would translate to about $12 to $15 today, I would imagine. And you know, it was a once in a while thing with those. But, you know, I was really big into He-Man, Matchbox cars. I really love those, you know, the Hot Wheels. I really love those things. I'd always set up little racetracks on the ground and play with those. And I also loved sci-fi stuff. I remember Battlestar Galactica was something really, really popular with me back then. And I had little pieces of toys like Lego stuff. I would build starships out of Legos and fly around the house, imagining those were Cylon battle cruisers. And so, you know, the sci-fi aspect of it was always really appealing to me. And I love the Cylons in Battlestar Galactica because, you know, these big metal robot guys, you know, when they were bad guys, that really appealed to me. I don't know why, but they did. You know, big flashy metal things. And here I was laying in the hospital. The doctors thought I was going to die. And my friend, my next door neighbor friend that I always played with, he came to visit me. His parents brought him to visit me. And you got to understand, you know, that I'd been in the hospital several days at this point. And my parents were being told that I wasn't going to survive, and they told his parents that it was likely that I wasn't going to survive. So they brought him down, their son down to see me, and he came in the room and saw me. And my mom has told me this story many, many times, and I'll never forget it. I was laying down in the bed, and I had like four or five IVs in me. I was like purple, and I was on a respirator, and I was asleep. But my friend thought I was dead, and you got to understand, he was several years younger than me. I was like eight, so he would have been four and a half, five years old. He runs in the room, sees me, and runs up and lays a present down on the bed next to me and runs out of the room crying. Would not come back in the room because he thought I was dead. And so his parents stood and talked to my parents for a while, and then they left. It wasn't till the next morning when I woke up till I realized, well, my mom showed me that I'd got a present from him, from Kevin, and I opened it up. And it was the Constructicon Bone Crusher. And a little bit of me is still here to this day, because as I'm sitting here telling you this story, sitting right behind me, right there, that Bone Crusher that is on the screen right now is my first Transformer. It is 100% complete. All the parts are still in the box. That's a knockoff box that Insane Galvatron gave me, and I keep them in my Constructicons in it to kind of help preserve them. But that is my first Transformer. I still have it, and I will never, never sell that thing, because I was sitting in the hospital, and they had finally diagnosed me with a rare heart disease called Kawasaki. And it's called something else now. And it was originally diagnosed by a doctor in Japan named Kawasaki. It wasn't named after the motorcycle, like a lot of people joke. But they finally discovered that and put me on heavy antibiotics for that, and started getting me a lot more medicine. And I started getting better. And I started playing with Bone Crusher. And I found him so awesome, and the concept, this little bulldozer would become a robot, and he had like these little pistols and stuff, and he could fight these other guys, and it turns out he was a bad guy. So, you know, he was a bad guy fighting a bunch of good robots that they turned from cars and trucks into robots. And I'm like, these are awesome. Well, if a lot of G1 fans may remember that the original Transformers, you know, they had like the cross promotions on the back of them, and it showed all six Constructicons combined into Devastator. And I was sitting there holding this little bulldozer, and I'm like, wow, you can take this one and put it with these five other ones and make a really big one. You know, that whole concept was just blew my mind. And a week later, I was actually released from the hospital, but I was still very sick, and I was put on a lot of restrictions. And for several years following that hospitalization, I was in and out of doctor's offices, and I was a very sick little boy. Couldn't run and play like the other children. You know, I wasn't able to get out and play baseball and basketball and other sports like a lot of kids do, you know. And that's one of the things that sometimes kills toys for children, especially today. You know, it's like, you know, you play with toys when you're really young, and then you get to a certain age whenever you start becoming more active in sports and you know, community things. You put toys away and they forget about them. Well, that was somewhat true back in my day, but or back in the, you know, whenever we were growing up. But you know, kids still played with toys, you know, up till they were 10, 11, 12 years old, and it wasn't uncommon. Well, because I was sick and because I couldn't play sports, I stuck to these toys because they gave me something to do, and it was something fun, and they were really, really cool. And whenever I returned home, my mom and dad, they were asking me, you know, what kind of toys do you like? And I'm like, I don't like He-Man anymore. I'd actually took all my He-Man figures and put them in a big box, and decided to just put them away. I never played with them again. And I told them, buy me Transformers. You know, don't ever buy me a He-Man figure again. Buy me Transformers. And
I bet your dad just loved that, considering he thought, well, finally, you put away the rubber dolls, he's going to play with cars and trucks.
Yeah. He did. He really liked that, you know. And my mom, she bought me a Scrapper, a Hook, and a Scavenger. And I was not able to complete Devastator for at least another few months afterwards, whenever I finally got Long Haul and Mixmaster. I remember being rather disappointed as a child whenever I finally combined Devastator together, because I expected him to be so much bigger, you know, it's
like Hercules.
Yeah. I expected him to be Hercules size. Cause you know, when, as a child, you don't have that spatial
logic. Okay.
Yeah.
This one's this size. He's the leg. Another one.
Yeah.
Two more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to be this.
Yeah,
you're thinking like cartoon. He's smaller than Optimus Prime, one of them. When they all combine, they're bigger than a skyscraper.
Yeah, that was my thinking. You know, it's like on the cartoon. You know, they were a little bit smaller than Optimus Prime, but when they combine together, they tower over him. Well, you know, in the toy, it kind of does, but not by that much.
I never completed a combiner as a kid.
Me neither.
Yeah. Well, Devastator and Bruticus were the only... No, Devastator, Bruticus, and Menasor were the only combiners that I completed. No, I take that back. I completed more combiners than I thought then. Devastator, Menasor, Bruticus, Abominus, Computron, and Predaking I completed. I had half of Superion, but I didn't complete him. And I had two Protectobots. I didn't have any of the Pretender Beasts, so I didn't have any of those. I didn't complete Monstructor. But anyway, I got really, really into Transformers. My first box Transformer was Snarl, the Dinobot, and I actually still have that Snarl, and he's still complete. He's in my case in there. He's in really rough shape. Obviously, I played the crap out of him as a kid, but, you know, he's still in there. And
I understand that. There's probably parts of my Beast Wars figures buried in the sand out in my backyard.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I mean, the fact that he's still complete is a miracle. But, you know, it was strange. My mom, back in the day, she had this sense that, you know, it's like she liked Barbies whenever she was little, even though she didn't have the chance to collect them like a lot of adult women do today. She loved Barbies as a kid, and her and and my oldest sister, she liked Barbies. And, you know, back whenever they first came out, you know, they were just toys. But by the time I was a child, Barbies were a collectible item, and they were highly valuable. Hot Wheels from the 60s were highly valuable. And my mom told me, she realized that Transformers was something new and something really, really special. And she said, you know, you'd be really well served to take care of these toys and not damage them and hold on to them, and they'll be worth some money someday. And how right she was. Yeah, she was very right. And what toys that I did take care of, you know, as whenever I became an adult collector back in late 99, early 2000, you know, because like every kid, a lot of kids, you know, I grew out of toys because eventually I got healthy enough to stop playing with toys and you know, hey, girls have titties. And, you know, I started looking at girls and wanting a car and I grew out of them. I mean, like you with Ninja Turtles, I was with Dino Riders. You know, I mean, Transformers, I started putting those away, and I started taking more interest in, you know, I was starting to get into late middle school by this time, and I was taking a lot of interest in prehistoric animals. And so I really like Dino Riders, mainly because they were really accurate-looking dinosaurs. And I didn't play with them as much, but I like to, you know, put them on my shelf and then put all this armor on them because they look cool with all these guns and stuff off of them. But as far as playing with them, I really didn't play with them that much. My later Transformers were the same way. Like you mentioned, you know, I got them more for a collector mentality than I did an actual toy. Something mm-hmm. to play with mentality. And I think that's what kind of relays it into modern day, you know, whenever, you know, I eventually found a woman and got married and, excuse me, I got the hiccups.
They hit me earlier.
Yeah. and I'm almost out of drink too. My wife and I, my first wife and I, we moved to Kentucky, and my mom and dad were still living in Florida. And my mom and dad moved up about a year or 2 years after we got married. And I had actually started seeing the Beast Machines or Beast Wars cartoon on television, and I took a mild interest in it, but at the time, you know, I'm like, hey, I remember Transformers, this stuff's kind of cool, but I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it, you know, because I had a lot of other things. I was a newlywed, we didn't have a lot of money, and I was still trying to figure out where I was going to go with my career. Well, fast forward a few months later, my mom and dad sold their place in Florida, moved to Kentucky, and she had found my collection in storage in the house, and she told me to come get them, or she was going to put them in a yard sale. I'm like, hey, you know, I remember those things. Let me go back and look at them. And they were all in one box, and all the weapons and everything, all the instruction booklets were down in big gallon size Ziploc bags, and I started getting them out, piecing them together. I was surprised how well I remembered what weapon went with what figure and how they combined together. Some of them I remembered how they transformed, and the more I messed with them, the more memories started rushing back to from my childhood. And you know, relaying a story that I've told both to voice actor Michael McConaughey of Generation One's Tracks and Paul Eiding, who does the voiceover for our podcast intro and outro. He was the voice of Generation One Perceptor. I've told both of them, as well as Greg Berger, who is Grimlock. I've told all of them my story as a child, and it moved them. Because, you know, these the memories that came rushing back with these little toys, you know, I hold my Weird Wolf here. This is my actual Weird Wolf from my childhood. And, you know, this toy, I related to the character as it is portrayed in the tech spec. And it means a lot to me. I mean, I remember messing with this toy so much, playing with this toy so much as a child, and how simple it was, but yet, you know, he's this freaky yellow and blue and white wolf. You know, I mean, it's just weird. And I remember
Weird Wolf.
Hence Weird Wolf. And I love this gimmick, the headmaster gimmick. That just absolutely was so awesome to me as a kid. And finding this toy and all those memories started rushing back to me. And I had a Generation 1 Sandstorm. And the memory of that, in sixth grade, as a matter of fact, in sixth grade, is in 1987, I won the Collier County, Florida Spelling Bee in 1987. Here's my trophy for it. I still have it. Whenever I won that spelling bee, I was awarded like $20 in cash. And I took that $20 and went straight to KB Toy Store, or not KB, but Children's Playland, I believe. It was in the Naples Mall. I went in there and I bought that Generation 1 Sandstorm. And I still remember that to this day. I love that toy. And, I took my prize money from winning a spelling bee and won, and went and bought a Transformer with it. And then whenever I went to the regionals, little known fact, I was actually on television during the spelling bee. And the whole time I had the Autobot cassette Steeljaw in my pocket. And I just memories like that was just so awesome. And like I told those voice actors, you know, I was a very, very sick little boy, and I wasn't able to run and play like the other kids. But you know what? Damn it, I had a very happy childhood because of Transformers. And the memories that are attached to the characters and to the toys are priceless to me. And while I don't own a lot of those toys anymore, I eventually grew, like you mentioned, Greg, you know, I've went through a number of stages. You know, at one time I had nearly everything in Generation 1. I think I was like you, I had like 20 or 30 figures left before I had the entire line. And I got to the point where I had all of G1, all of Beast Wars, all of, the Showcast. I had all of Beast Machines, both sealed and loose. I had all of Armada, all of Robots in Disguise, all of Energon, all of Cybertron, and a lot of Universe, and all the extra figures that had been released. And I just had them, so many that I couldn't display them all. And I had, mm-hmm. I had like 9 totes. Like the big, huge totes that that you store things in, just full of Transformers. So many that I couldn't even display them all. And back in late 2006, early 2007, I sold the biggest part of my collection. At one time, I had over 2,000 Transformers. And, I paid off some bills and took my ex-wife, or my then-wife, we went on a vacation to Cape Hatteras, and I still remained a collector. I still kept a bunch of Transformers, and I still collected, but I refocused my collection. Now I'm where I'm at now. You know, I collect some G1 that really appeal to me and have a lot of nostalgic value to me, or was like some of my favorite characters. I love the triple changers, the combiners. I may eventually, if I can get enough, get another IKEA Detolf to display them in, I may go back and get all the G1 combiners and display those, because I really love the combiners, all the headmasters. Of course, I had almost all of them up until year before last. but you know, something happened to me that you know, forced my hand, and I had to get rid of almost all my collection. But you know, such is life, you know. And I've always tried to keep in perspective that my hobby is not my life. And that's what it means to me today. My hobby is not my life. It's something that that highlights and accentuates my life and makes my life better. It makes me happy. It makes me reminds me of a happier time. And like Cyburn, like what you said, you know, it reminds me of my youth, and it brings a little bit of my youth into my adulthood. And this time, whenever I am you know, dealing with real life adult problems, you know, money problems, and you know, at one time I was dealing with marital problems, and you know, just anything, you know, my car's messing up on me or something, you know, just having to deal with real life adult problems, you know, there comes a time at the end of the day whenever you just want to be a little kid again, and Transformers gives me that outlet. You know, it's something that I can look back on, and I can, you know, get out of my wife's hair for a few hours a day. You know, it's like right now where I'm out of work because of my accident I had earlier this year. You know, I'm home 24/7 with my wife, and you know, if I didn't have my hobby to come down here and do podcasting and work on a website and take pictures in my light box, you know, I would absolutely drive her insane and her me. But, you know, my hobby in Transformers gives me an outlet to of something to enjoy, you know. And, you know, if push comes to shove, they are just toys. I can part with them. There's some I'll never part with, like my Constructicons here, Bone Crusher. I'll never part with that one. Weird Wolf, I can't believe I parted with him, but, you know, thankfully I had the foresight to sell him to somebody that I could get him back from, and I did, you know. And it's just something that's
pretty much the reason I bought him, because I knew you would want him back. Yeah. You know how I collect with condition on toys. I prefer a certain condition, and yeah, your Weird Wolf didn't really live up to that condition. He had more paint that. He had a lot of toy wear because you played with him as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
You were selling your collection, and I knew you'd want that Weird Wolf back. So yeah, I was like, that I bought it just for the explicit purpose of selling it back to you later.
Yeah, he could stand for. Actually, he's not really damaged. He just needs.
No.
He could use some repro labels really bad.
Well, and he's got the red paint on his face is worn off really bad.
Yeah, well, not that bad. Just the tip of his nose and his chin. But
well, that's enough. It looks like he's been punched in the face.
Hey, he's been through some battles. But, you know, toys, being a toy collector as an adult, you know, I've been made fun of. I've been, you know, questioned as, you know, as to my manhood and adulthood by collecting toys. But a lot of people are shocked to find out, you know, that it's not only my hobby, but it's also a means of making money if I need it. You know, whenever I buy a new toy, you know, it's not, you know, I'm not throwing my money away. You know, these toys can appreciate in value and bring something back if need be. You know, and case in point was, you know, this past month, whenever my wife now and I, we got married. We needed money because I've been out of work since April because of an accident, and we didn't have any money. So I took my Brave figures and sold them, and that money paid for our wedding. You know, 6 years ago, whenever I did another big massive sell off, I paid for the car that I had in cash, and I drove that car up until 2 months ago. Whenever you know, we needed a better car, more reliable car, so we traded it in and got the one that we have now. And you know, that car was paid for in cash by Transformers. I sold Transformers to pay for that car. You know, so whenever people sit there and make fun of me, I've been made fun of, and then whenever you say, "Oh well, yeah, it's also my hobby, but I've also made money off of these too," you know, it's like, "Oh really? How much money? About 100 bucks?" And I'm like, "No, I paid for a car, and now I've paid for a wedding." with the sale of toys. You know, and so I don't
think this flabbergasted look like, what?
Yeah, really? They're that much? Yeah. And now I can display them in a tasteful way. I mean, a lot of people, they're happy with just displaying them on a bookshelf, and that's fine. I did that for many, many years. But now I actually use glass display cases, the IKEA Detolfs. A lot of collectors go to those, and I love the way they look in those. You can stand and admire them. They look like a museum piece whenever you put them in those, and they just... they're so awesome. And now that when people comes down into my man cave and sees my collection displayed in these glass cases, they're not just toys sitting on a shelf or sitting around a room. They're actually displayable collectibles in a glass display case. And, you know, once in a while I get them out, mess with them and put them in a light box, take pictures of them, and I enjoy them in that way. So as an adult, that's what collecting means to me. It keeps me rooted in something, something good and something healthy, as opposed to going out and going to a bar and drinking, getting smashed and wasting my money and coming home beating my wife and what have you. You know, I'm not saying that everybody does that, but I mean, it could happen. You know, I'm not going to do that because I'm roid raging on toys. You know, and, you know, as long as you keep a perspective with it, with your collecting habits, it can be something fun and something very healthy. So before we wrap up here, what do you see the common thread in all three of our stories? What would you say is the most common thread between all three of our stories?
Links to our childhood memories.
And that's very important. You know, what does it mean to you as an adult looking back on your childhood? You know, as far as being an adult collector, I think the common thread is the nostalgia and also the cool factor. You know, it's we all have an interest in that kind of stuff. Any of you guys have any closing thoughts on this discussion?
No, I think we've covered it pretty in depth there.
What about you, Cyburn?
I agree. nerdy geeky things are awesome.
Yeah, nerdy geeky things are awesome. I know we've rambled on about our collection collections and our collecting habits and what it means to us, but I hope you as a listener have found a way to relate to us and see what it means to you and make you look at yourself as a collector and say, what does being a Transformer collector mean to me? Am I proud to be a Transformer collector? I know I am. You know, I don't hide it from people. I'm not ashamed of it. Do you guys hide it, or are you ashamed of it in any way?
No, I've met so many friends through, you know, Transformers, you know, friends, you know, mostly online because like we're separated separated by states and even oceans for some of the people I've met.
But we have met in person, so.
But yeah, it's you know, it's a good community when you find your part in it, and you make really good friends. I mean, well, when we started this thing, I only knew you and Greg. You know, the rest of the cast were, you know, just random people to me. But as we've done this podcast, we've all become, you know,
a family,
friends
and a family.
It's you know, anything to, you know, get people together and to you know, just have a common thing to talk about. It's never a bad thing.
No. Yeah. It's, how about you, Greg? Are you ever ashamed, or, you know, how do you feel about your fandom?
I'm not now because, I mean, I finally, like I said, originally, remember, I was buying them for my daughter. So there was a little bit of shame there at the beginning when I first got back into collecting as an adult.
Yeah. And well, even then, I think we've all experienced that. Yeah.
Well, and then even then, I kind of kept it secret from everybody. Like, people at work didn't know. Like, I worked at Pepsi, and nobody knew how quick the Transformers was until you started working there, and you started telling people, and I was all like, shut up, these people don't know. They don't know I'm a geek, you know, because I was trying to be all cool and stuff. And then, of course, it when I got the job I'm at now, where I've been for the last 7.5 years, the first year I started there was 2006 in April, and that was when BotCon was in Lexington. And so I really wanted Friday off to go to all 3 days, and I asked for the personal day. And you know, again, I was still – I didn't tell people – so I was like, well, I've got a convention I want to go to. I didn't say what it was. Oh, and then they're like, well, where are you traveling to? I'm like, I don't have travel at all. It's here in Lexington, but I want it off Friday because there's stuff going on. I want to be there. And then one of the – I think my dispatcher heard the advertisement for BotCon on the radio. And he's like, where's this? And after the next day, he asked me, he's like, where's this convention at? You going to? Is it in Rupp Arena? He said, it ain't a Transformers convention, is it? And I'm like, I was mortified. Like, how'd you find out? He's like, I heard I advertised on the radio for it. Because I told him it was at Rupp Arena that weekend, so convention Rupp Arena that weekend on the radio. So that's when I kind of realized, you know what, I don't need to be ashamed of it. You know, it is what I enjoy, and so that was back in 2006.
It's no different than, you know, like the guys that like motorcycles. You know, they'll go out and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on you know, motorcycles and memorabilia and
paraphernalia. Our hobby's just cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah,
and or profitable. If you buy, sell, and trade, you can actually make money in this hobby. That's how I paid for all these G1 toys I bought. I've made them from selling stuff in the hobby. Very little of that's coming out of my paycheck. But, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. A lot of the guys there, they like motorcycles. They'll take trips to go on these bike rides down to Sturgis, you know, whatever. And they were all very, you know, no, that's cool. Everybody's going to have a hobby.
Yeah.
And so that's when I was like, I'd say quit acting like this is something to be ashamed of. I mean, it's more mainstream now than it ever used to be. And so I haven't really been ashamed of it since. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why I think it took me so long to find a wife was because, you know, I'd be dating girls and meet them online, whatever. But, oh, yeah, by the way, I collect Transformers. You know, or if they'd come by my house and see the room full of toys, looked like a Toys R Us exploded in there, you know, then I'd never hear from them again. So when I found a woman that saw the Transformer room
and wasn't
stayed
scared
around,
away. Yeah.
And wasn't scared away, she hung around, I knew I had a winner.
Well, it's like my wife, you know, I found her, and, you know, I even, we met online, you know, a lot of people do that today. And, you know, on my online profile, I even stated flat out, I like Star Trek, I love Star Wars, I'm a Transformers collector, I'm a flat out geek. If you are not cool with that, don't contact me. And she contacted me because she's a geek too. She's not really into Transformers. She kind of thinks they're neat. She likes the movies, but, you know, the toys, she has like zero interest in them, but she gets it. And, you know, mm-hmm. She's a geek in the fact that she loves Star Wars and we love geeky things. You know, it's like the new Lord of the Rings that's coming up in December. You know, we're both really excited for that, you know, because that's right down our alley. We buy Christmas ornaments to put on a geek-only Christmas tree. We've got these Hallmark ornaments like a Back to the Future DeLorean, a Darth Vader. We've got a TIE Fighter Interceptor. We've got Milton from Office Space. We've got Mork from Mork and Mindy. You know, I mean, this trip. Yeah, we got this Christmas tree that is going to be decorated with geeky, nerdy stuff, and because that's right down our alley, and we enjoy those things. So, you know, while she doesn't share in my hobby, and I don't expect her to, but she totally gets it, and she supports it because she sees how healthy it is, and she understands how I can like it. And, you know, she has flat out said, now that's pretty cool, whenever I've gotten one and transformed it and stuff. I remember whenever I got the Brave King Jader, she thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, my wife, when she was just my girlfriend, she didn't get it at first. I shared a story a couple weeks ago how she found an old toy while we were on our honeymoon in North Carolina that she has a kid, and she got excited. And I kind of made the point, like, hey, that's how I feel about Transformers. So she kind of got it a little. But she thought it was really weird at first, and then even with that, I transformed the Brave Captain Shark. I had him, you know, he was in robot mode. I was like, look, so he's like a pirate, you know, eye patch stuff. Then I transformed him, and he turns into a shark. She's like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So even though she's not into collecting, you know.
I do remember, it's like whenever we went down to Sharticon a month or two ago, she sat there for an hour or so behind the table, the dealer table that you had, and she was so glossed over. She's like, I am totally out of my element here.
Yeah, she's not a geek. I mean, she's she and I are a good fit for other reasons. I mean, our personalities are very similar, so that we get along. We just kind of get each other, and we share our faith, which is the one thing that's more important to me than even the Transformers. And so we have that in common. So, you know, she's not really the geek, so she's not into all this stuff. But, you know, she's very understanding of it. And while she thought it was strange, she allows me to do it. I put
she's
that
slowly warming up to it. Yeah.
She's warming up to it. And, you know, and she knew I was in this before we got married. So that's why she really does. She lost all rights to complain when she said yes when I proposed.
Yeah.
Because she knew I was into this before we even got engaged. So,
you know, and for you guys that are listening that are single and still looking, and you look at your Transformers or other action figure. I mean, you might be into Marvel figures or something other. It doesn't matter. You know, you can look at your action figure collection and say, I'm like the epitome of the 40-year-old virgin. I'll never get somebody and everything. Well, Insane Galvatron and I are perfect examples. You know, there are people out there looking for somebody just like you. And
it took me 9 years to find her.
Yeah, it may take you a while, but be patient. It only took me a year.
Do not settle. And the other advice is, if you're ever with a woman or a man, depending on which gender you are, and they put the ultimatum on you, you know, like you're dating and you may be all in love, and they're like, well, you know, all those toys have just got to go. You just got to grow up. Dump them, because it's not about the toys. To me, that's an issue. If a person truly loves you, they'll never put an ultimatum, make you choose between them and something you enjoy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you ever have anyone put the ultimatum down that you need to choose between them and that hobby or those toys, choose the toys. Not because you're superficial, but just because that's a reflection of the kind of person they are.
A reflection of where their heart is.
Yes, because no person's ever put an ultimatum on you. Because I've actually heard that surprisingly a large amount of times in the hobby, in the fandom, where somebody will meet somebody and they'll tell them they got to choose between them and the toys. Because, you know, like I said, it's not about – and the woman will probably take it as, well, he loves the toys more than me. It's not that. It's if they're the kind of person who's going to make you choose, whether they're into geeky stuff or not, they're not the right person for you. They're not the right person for anybody. And any person who's going to make somebody choose between their hobby and the person. Because if you love somebody, you're going to be with them and let them have their hobby. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I know.
And that's to TFYLP love advice.
Yes. We cover all kinds of grounds here. Well, it's like you know, whenever I was my wife and I were still dating, you know, there was a woman that I met in Georgetown where Insane Galvatron lives. She and I kind of saw each other for about 2-3 weeks, you know, almost a month, and she finally saw my Transformers collection, and she thought it was just absolutely, you know, she totally didn't get it, and she thought it was terrible. She's like, why do you throw away money on toys and everything? Well, back in February, just out of curiosity, I logged on. It was after I'd kind of made the decision to really pursue the relationship with my now wife to the point where I wanted to marry her. You know, I went on to the online dating site that I'd met her on, and with the purpose to delete my profile. But before I deleted my profile, I looked up the woman that I met there in Georgetown that looked upon my Transformer hobby as something terrible. And she went so far as to, after our breakup — I didn't break up with her, she broke up with me — and she said that in her profile that, you know, if you're a dork and you fill your rooms with toys, then, you know, I don't want to talk to you or something other like that. And it still said that on her profile, and she was still active, had a very active profile. She was still actively updating it, even up to a few days before me checking her out. And yeah, here I was on my way to getting married, and she was still looking. So,
because, you know, she's the same way. Her problem was she could not let you be you.
Yes.
And it for you, it was the toys, but with the next guy, it'll be something else. You know, maybe he'd have a sports car. Well, why can you throw so much money in that car? You don't need such a fast car. Yeah. Or, you know, a guy that likes motorcycles. What do you need a motorcycle for? That thing's a death trap. I mean, it's a personality thing. Yeah. She's going to find
She was a very self-centered person. She had her hobby. Her hobby was pool. She loved, billiards. You know, she kept correcting me every time I called it pool and everything. She goes, it's billiards. I'm like, okay, it's pool to me. You know, I understand you like it. That's your hobby. That's your passion. You know, to me, it's just pool. You know, something I might play once every 3 years. You know, but you know, she actually was active in pool tournaments and everything, and you know, she was all about that. But my toy collecting, it was just absolutely ridiculous notion. You know, why would a grown man be collecting toys? And you know, it's, you know, she was very shallow and self-serving, and obviously not a person that I wanted to continue to be with. I mean, she had some redeeming qualities, which is why I was with her for a short while. But you know, just be patient, guys. If you're out there and you're ashamed of your collecting, don't be. It can be a good thing.
But, yeah, that being ashamed of it could be the reason why you're still single, because you try to hide it. You get a girl liking you, then you surprise her with it, and then you scare her off. Whereas if you're open with it up front, the only girls who are going to go out with you are the ones who are going to be okay with it, so it's not going to scare them off when they find out, because they're going to already know. So it's best to just lay it all out there. Like Duran said in his profile, he just put in his profile and met the woman he's now married to.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. Any of you guys got anything last comments?
No, I think we should start wrapping up. Last time you asked that, we went on for another 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it's been a good discussion, and that's what these are, is good discussion topics. And the meat of our podcast needs to be the discussion topics, and that's what this was, the hobby of collecting. Hobby of collecting Transformers, that's what we've talked about tonight. We hope you guys have enjoyed this episode of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. Quick note from our sponsor, I just saw a couple tweets. CapturedPrey.com now has Mastermind Creations RO5 Fortis up for pre-order. Order by November 1st and pay just $85, which is $15 off the retail price. Also, KSC Toys CST02 Retro Iron Paw, which is the not steel jaw, I believe, is up for pre-order.
Yeah, how is that different from the first release of steel jaw they did?
I'm not sure, but he's got it up for pre-order for $21. And we also have CST DO1 and Overslay and CST DO2 Haymaker, which are the Overkill and Slugfest third-party figures. They are up for pre-order as well at CapturedPrey.com. Captured Prey, great toys, great prices, great service. Be sure to check them out. So without further ado, I think we'll wrap it up tonight. And thank you all for listening. Greg, Michael, thank you guys for being with us. And
my pleasure.
Check out our message board at tftalk.net. Follow us at Twitter, TFYLP. And if you need to email us, it's podcast@tfylp.com. See you next week on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. This is Weird Wolf signing off. When the battle is through, only the strong will survive. Till no one. This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.